It's a very important relationship. We're going to get along good with China. I hear so many stories about we're not going to allow their students. We're going to allow their students to come in. We're going to allow. It's very important. 600,000 students. It's very important.
I mean, it is official CFR globalist policy to deindustrialize the United States. On purpose, the Great Reset. We have all the carbon controls. China has none. It's designed to screw us. It's on purpose, Trump! China is testing. China is manipulating. China is seeing how far they can go with these probes. And when you put it together with their Confucian societies and $6 billion a year in the U.S. universities to control academia and biopoliticians, and you look at their acquisition of the media and the fact that they own four of the six big production houses in Hollywood.
Lacking farmland, China has struggled to secure food for its 1.4 billion citizens. Just recently, in August, four Chinese government departments warned a drought posed a severe threat to the autumn harvest. That has driven overseas investments in food, including the purchase of Virginia-based pork producer Smithfield Foods and partnership with Growmark, a grain logistics firm.
This entire system we see is being foisted by a handful of corporations and the Chinese communists. The people that run our country are out to get us. They're at war with us on every front, and you already know that. But as soon as we can get the bureaucrats and the woke leftists to just pull back and understand that they've been Stockholm syndromed and that they're helping their own abusers and destroyers, and they're pretending like they're part of some liberal revolution to create a utopia, as soon as they realize that this liberal utopia is meant to bring in total autocratic tyranny, and then they're going to have a backlash and ban the entire leftist system that they've injected into us to only paralyze us. In the next phase of the New World Order program, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be eugenics all the way. But they intend on making the world so hellish in the buildup to 2030 that everybody will just wink, wink when they release the race-specific bioweapons, starting with Africa, that are going to wipe that continent absolutely out.
Communist tabloid The Global Times explains China's Global Civilization Initiative as the third major global initiative presented by China after the Global Development Initiative and the Global Security Initiative. This narrative deceptively claims the initiative calls for respect for the diversity of civilizations, upholding the common values of humanity and pursuing peace, development, equity, justice, democracy, and freedom, and promoting robust international people-to-people exchanges and cooperation.
House Oversight says they've got bank records showing a Chinese energy company paying three Biden family members through a third party. What were they paid for?
Look, I'm just not going to respond to that from here.
He's telling us that he paid around $11,000 to complete this trip that's either paid to a cartel or different human smuggling groups. But he just arrived here in Texas, once again, just highlighting that this sector is leading the nation in those illegal crossings from Chinese nationals.
The emerging BRICS countries quickly fell in line behind President Xi's illusion.
We have lost people. Now, how much more bloodshed do we need to understand that the transition is upon us?
South African President Cyril Ramaphosa said that he fully agrees with Xi's initiative.
South Africa is grateful to the People's Republic of China for its support throughout the pandemic.
While UN water-carrying Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić also said that nation should uphold the principles of equality, mutual learning, dialogue, and inclusiveness. Equality from a Chinese government that is conducting a mass genocidal sterilization campaign on its citizens known as the Uyghurs.
Before eating, we have to praise or say that we are grateful to country. We are very grateful for China's Communist Party, and we are grateful for Xi Jinping.
This desperate man says he and his wife and children are starving. Uyghurs were barely allowed to leave their homes during the COVID-19 lockdown.
Mutual learning from a cover-up of a global lab leak that has killed millions and damaged millions more through the initial virus and its subsequent vaccine. Once the layers of propaganda are stripped off that even American media gleefully engages in, Xi's speech is laid bare for what it is, the announcement of the impending emergence of a new world order carefully constructed by globalist think tanks for decades. John Bound reporting.
Chase. Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
It's Wednesday, September 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you live this Wednesday morning, 3rd of September, 2025. We got a lot to talk about today. Of course, we got a lot of China news to get into. And I actually have a lot of stuff that I wanted to cover yesterday, but we got a little bit sidetracked for obvious reasons. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls today. Do we have any guests today, guys? I didn't even ask this morning. No guests. Okay, so plenty of time to take calls, which is good. And we got a lot of like I said, videos to get to that I wasn't able to get to yesterday because of the Owens situation. And obviously, I don't know. I did not expect Alex to have the reaction that he did yesterday. I was sort of shocked at it at first. I think I've had a bit of a change of heart in that regard. And even now, I guess I'm just vacillating the back and forth. Or like I wake up this morning and I like remember, I'm like, oh, right. That's what's going on in the world. And I'm like, oh God, I'm just not, we'll just move on. You know, we talked about it yesterday. I won't even mention it today. Then the first thing I see on X is a post from the Fight Back podcast with, Jake Shields, where it's like Alex Jones kicks Owen Schroyer off of InfoWars. Mere weeks after Jake Shields asked if Epstein was a Mossad agent. It's like, all right, now I'm mad. Now actually I am mad at this. Now actually this is, and it's been a little bit relentless and people are going to do this anyway. But Owen knew that and he fed into it. And so then I'm all fired up and I'm like, driving to work, just like, you know, I'm just gonna go, you know, people want, you know, they want to know what's, you know, maybe I'll tell some home truths, maybe, you know, we'll give the full story behind some of this stuff. And I'm like fired up to talk about it, and in the instant that I get into the studio and go sit behind the desk, I'm like, oh God, do I really want to go into all that stuff? So I'm just back and forth, just going, you know, maybe I should talk about, you know, maybe we'll talk about some of this. Alex Jones fired Owen Schroyer. All right, well, there's your first lie, dumbasses. You didn't fire Owen. Owen quit. Like, and this is the thing. We're surrounded by retards. We're drowning in retarded people or liars. I don't know which one it is. But it's just exhausting.
Retarded liars.
Or retarded liars.
The worst kind.
Or the best kind. You don't want your liars to be too smart. You want the retarded ones. But that's what we got. That is what we got. And it sort of just brought everything up. The idea of, so for like years, so basically like Jake Shields and like Stu Peters and these people have been like, you know, calling Alex a controlled opposition and claiming he's controlled by the Jews and all this stuff for so long. And they've been on our show. The whole thing is exhausting, but that was Owen being subversive. I'm sorry, but what happens is Jake Shields will reach out to Owen and go, "Hey, can I come on?" Owen will, without ever asking Alex, just text back, "No, Alex says you're too anti-Semitic." And then Jake Shields goes on and goes, "Oh, Alex says I'm too anti-Semitic. He's gatekeeping. He's not allowing me on." It's just Owen just saying that because he is mad at Alex and telling people that. Because then those people go on X and go, "The InfoWars hosts told me that I'm not allowed on their show." And I'm like, what? I never said that. I mean, there's Alex Jones, then there's Owen Schroyer and Harrison Smith. So if you say, not Alex Jones, but the other InfoWars hosts have told me this, it's like, I never said that. I never told you that. That's never happened to me, ever. It never has. The only time Alex has ever said not to have a guest on was when, like, there was insane drama between Laura Loomer and Milo Yiannopoulos, and he was just like, "I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole, and you shouldn't either." And I was like, "Oh yeah, I didn't even want to, but I won't." So there you go. Because it's like, we're not about drama. We're about real news. We're not about like internet beef. We're about the truth and reality. And do you think that I or Alex or Owen have ever learned anything from Jake Shields or Stu Peters? Do you think they have ever said anything in their lives that we don't know more about than them? God bless them. You know, they're doing their best. They're learning, you know, they're going through the process that I went through in middle school. So I recognize it, but
snake venom,
not exactly. Well, yeah, maybe snake venom. But then they go into this thing where they go, "Oh, you're just not allowed to have me on. You're controlled and censored. So have me on." And it's like, okay, so now the situation is either I have to have you on or else I'm controlled. So you're trying to like blackmail me or like bluff your way onto the show. Now I can't have you. Now that you said that, I'm not going to have you on because you're trying to bully me into having you on. So now you've created your own problem, but it's a self-fulfilling thing where you talk shit about us and then we don't let you on because you talk shit about us. And then you go, "See, I'm not allowed on. That proves I'm too hot. I'm too hot to handle." It's like, no, you're just not very smart. Unfortunately. And it's unfortunate for all of us. But it's that type of crap that Owen deliberately created. And that's very annoying. So again, I'm not pissed as Alex is about Owen. But I absolutely see where he's coming from, and it's absolutely not something that we need to deal with, especially from people within our own ranks. The constant lies, the constant insinuations that we're censors or whatever. Because originally I was like, well, you know, Owen was just sort of speaking his mind, but it's like I forgot the retarded people. Dang it. Like, I'm smart, so I can just watch it and go, okay, Owen said he didn't get fired. He said he was not censored. He said he, you know, could do whatever he wanted. And so I come away with it just going, okay, yeah, he basically talked about how he wasn't happy at InfoWars and wanted to leave. On his own prerogative, for his own reasons, he wasn't happy here and he wanted to leave. That's actually what happened. So what's the big drama about? But then when you're mixing in personal complaints about frustrations that you've had along with, you know, more or less claiming that, you know, Alex said I couldn't come on this week. And it's like, he just quit. So like, sincerely, if I'm talking to Owen, if you're watching right now, I really do think you should apologize. I genuinely think you should go, look, Alex never censored me. I want to make it something clear. Alex never censored me. I was allowed to cover whatever I want. I wasn't happy at InfoWars, so I left, but I want to thank them for everything that they did, and I was always treated well, because that's absolutely the truth. And by the way, the whole thing is nonsense anyway, because I'm more based on Israel than Owen ever has been. I've been ahead of the curve on Israel when it comes to Owen for like a year. It's kind of weird, isn't it? Kind of weird that like I'm the anti-Israel guy on InfoWars, and I have been for a very long time. You'd think if someone was going to be fired, you'd think it might be me if that's what it was about. It's not what it's about. And so it's just giving all of this ammo to our enemies, people who are just want to cut us down, want to make themselves bigger, are mad that, you know, we aren't helping them enough, which is the whole thing with Stu Peters. He just had a documentary that he wanted to promote, and I didn't have any interest in promoting it.
Yeah, they're doing this tactic called picking on the big guy.
Yeah.
Right? They're picking on the biggest dude.
But then everybody believes
him. And they've been doing it for the longest time, which is kind of an annoying thing.
It's petty and bitchy. And
you know Stu Peters would, like, respond right away if asked to come on the Alex Jones show.
Of course.
Like, he would do a backflip.
This is literally exactly how the conversation with Stu Peters went before he lied and said that, you know, Alex told me, you know, InfoWars hosts said Alex won't let them have us on. That's literally just Owen being bitchy and wanting to cause trouble. That's literally all that is. Why would you, like, here's how the conversation went.
And let's be real. This is part of, you know, my job. You know, sometimes there are guests that are just not a good fit. And sometimes you don't have a great way of, you know, telling them, hey, you know, like, well, we can't, like, have you on the show this time because everybody wants to be on the show. And, you know, it just so happened that the easiest way is to be like, yeah, my boss said no. Sorry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
And I.
But even that, just saying, you know, my boss says no or whatever, that would be one thing. No. One of them's lying about it, but to say, like, my boss says you're too anti-Semitic. And it's like, anti-Semitic. It's like, that never happened. That doesn't happen. I mean, for one thing, it's like, okay, we do want to have people on that are smart and intelligent and know things that our audience doesn't know and knows things that we don't know so we can learn things. This is about information. I'm not interested in holding somebody's hand as they read, you know, Mein Kampf for the first time. It's like, that's just not interesting. It's not compelling. It's not new by any means. Like, I get that people think that they're, like, the first ones to discover this because they're the first ones seeing it. There's a certain solipsism when it comes to this sort of stuff. And it's, at the end of the day, a lack of, nice. You know, at the end of the day, it's a lack of, vision, I guess, or like a lack of humility and respect. Like, they literally think that they're, like, the ones who are figuring this out. And it's like, y'all, you're so far behind. It's, like, kind of funny. And what's obvious about you being so far behind is your tactics are terrible. Your tactics are just absolutely awful. You haven't actually understood anything that you studied. You're just reciting it. And you're not good at that either. And so, like, Stu Peters texts me, like, hey man, I've got this new documentary coming out called The Chosen or whatever his documentary was called. Not The Chosen. Yeah, that's a Stu Peters production. You didn't know that? Whatever it was, The Occupied. I can't remember. Occupied. So he texts me, hey, I got this new documentary coming out. Can I come on the show to promote it? And I go, yeah, sure. You know, I'll tell my producer to hit you up. And then, like, a little bit later, he texts me back, like, so do you have to get approved for your guests? Like, does Alex have to approve them? And I just go, no. Like, I just told you that I would have you on the show. So I'm kind of insulted. Then I'm like, I just told you that I'd have you on my show. And now you're like, oh, but don't you have to get permission? Don't you have to ask permission? And so then I just, you know, completely forgot about it. And to tell you the truth, I just completely forgot that any of it happened, and I don't really care about the documentary. So I just didn't enter into my awareness, and I just genuinely forgot. I just, you know, was like, yeah, you can come on the show. And then he's like, but don't you have to ask Alex? I'm just like, no, I don't. And then I just, I don't know, kept playing video games or whatever and forgot about it until Stu Peters is on X going, the InfoWars host both told me that they wanted to have me on, but Alex wouldn't let them. And it's just like, that's just a lie. That's just a flat out, flagrant, blatant lie. So don't trust these. So don't trust these people. Like, at the end of the day, I'm just telling you from firsthand experience, these people lie. They twist the truth. They manipulate perception to achieve their ends. It's Machiavellian, and it's, sick and bad and wrong and evil. And I genuinely think Because, like, okay, Chase left like a month ago. He's not at the headquarters anymore. He works for Bigley. He still interacts with InfoWars. We still get plug sheets from him and everything. He's still doing a lot of stuff he was doing at InfoWars, but he's just doing it in Bigley. He didn't make a video insinuating that it was because Alex Jones was controlling him or censoring him. It's perfectly amicable. It would have been, I think, totally easy for Owen to just go, hey guys, I'm leaving InfoWars. I've grown too big for it. The bird's leaving its nest. I'm grow, but you know, they've done great things for me. They've given me a show in total, you know, freedom to cover what I want. I really appreciate it. But for me, I got to move on. I just want to thank the InfoWars audience. And, you know, I hope you can support me in my new thing. That would have been very easy. And that would have been great. That would have been fine. But what happened was the classic, you know, mainstream media phenomenon of telling the truth. Technically, he said that he was never censored. He said that he quit. I mean, he chose to quit. And again, this goes back a year to last November, when the instant that we thought InfoWars was shut down, Owen rolled out this pre-planned, you know, new network that clearly he had prepared, ready, waiting, you know, chomping at the gate, you know, ready to fire that out the instant that he thought InfoWars was down. And Alex went over this, that he just, like, you know, showed up the next day and backed like it never happened. But then again, a year later, to act like this was a surprise, and he's like, ah, gee, I guess I'm going to set up this network in 30 days. And it's like, you've had it ready for a year. Why are you acting like this is surprising or anything? And if you want to do that, again, you could have just said, look, this is just a personal thing. It's right for me. I got to move on. But to mix it in, to, you know, fold it in with the complaints about Alex always looking over my shoulder. And again, it's like, you work for a media company that's owned by Alex Jones. Would he not? It's genuinely absurd to think that he wouldn't have some input. And, like, honestly, it kind of is absurd that he doesn't have more input. Like, as I said yesterday, Alex kept bringing it up when he's like, do I tell you what to say? And I'm like, no, I kind of wish you would. I'm kind of out of control over here. And it's like, it's not totally true. I mean, genuinely, if I wanted to cover something, or I was, like, getting in trouble for covering something, I wouldn't jive with that, and I wouldn't do well with that. But it doesn't happen. And it's like, I count my blessings every day. I'm like, I can't believe I have a boss that lets me have a 3-hour show with a giant studio and a whole crew broadcasted to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people on a daily basis. And he's not instructing me what to say. He's not directing my coverage. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy how much freedom we have. So, like, he could have said that, you know, Owen could have said something like that. He's leaving, but I get it. You need the drama, you know, more drama that you get if you can present yourself as, you know, having been fired and being censored, and you have to tell the truth. So you're making your new thing because you're being held back at InfoWar. Like, if that's the perception, obviously you're going to get more support and you're going to get more people championing you, but it is a lie. But it's absolutely a lie. And again, I don't want to get into the personal stuff. So I love Owen. We're like exactly the same age. Grew up in very similar circumstances. I got nothing. I really got nothing against him, but just the more I thought about it, the more I absolutely understand Alex's fury at what happened. Especially, you know, I had a friend call me and he was like really mad. He was like, what is Owen's problem? Like, that he's such a traitor. And, like, he wasn't even watching Alex Jones. He just, like, saw Owen's thing and, like, flipped out about it. And, how did he put it? Maybe I'll just have him call in and say it. Well, he's like, well, what happened on Wednesday? He's like, what happened? That whistleblower came to y'all with the information about the trans shooter, right? He's like, that's the value of InfoWars' reputation. Is that you guys are a platform where whistleblowers know they can go to get information out. And they know that you can trust you. And that's what Owen was going after when he was making claims about you. You know, in some way, chipping away, or if the wrong person hears that and gets the wrong idea, they're going to think, well, I can't go to InfoWars. I can't trust InfoWars. with disinformation. Maybe they don't go to us. Maybe they go to somebody who's not trustworthy, who's not actually open, who's not actually willing to, you know, air out whistleblower information, and the information never gets out. Like, it's actually done damage to our side in the InfoWar, the movement in the InfoWar. So that's all very frustrating. It's all very, very frustrating. But, you know, we're all just blown away by Jake Shields' incredible insight. We just can't handle it, you know. Jake Shields, he's just so far ahead of us. Or he's brain damaged by CTE. But it's one of those. Either he's so, like, out there and far beyond. He's so much farther down the rabbit hole than we could ever hope to be. We don't get it, you know. He's just so enlightened and intelligent, and we're just stuck back here, you know. It's just absurd. It's just nonsense and absurd. We could go on about it. Then I had people commenting on me going, oh, a little taste of your own medicine, huh? Oh, you're always talking about the Jews. Well, now people are calling you a Jew, so how do you like it? People are calling me both a Nazi and a Mossad agent for the entire time I've worked here, so carry on, if you will. It doesn't bother me. At the same time, I'm a white person. You want to talk about being slandered? You want to talk about having to constantly hear about your race and your people being slandered and called evil relentlessly? Like, I don't know where you get off thinking that you have anything to teach anybody. I live in a world where we have college classes and 60 minutes highly produced journalist segments talking about how my people should die. Like, and you're complaining because people criticize the state of Israel as it's actively starving a population of slaves to death. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm finally getting a taste of the medicine. I'm finally learning what it's like to be an oppressed person. It's like, just stop. Just stop. And again, the absurd thing out of all of it is like, is even just that's about Israel or about Trump. I've been as negative on Trump as Owen, I think. I don't know, I haven't watched all of his coverage, but I haven't been exactly the friendliest person to Trump. And I've been way more anti-Israel for way longer than Owen Schroyer. So do you see an inconsistency there? Is that not something that should be taken into account? So at the end of the day, all that really happened here was Owen for like a year didn't want to work here, was seething, was preparing his exit, and decided to quit. And now everybody, and frame it in a way that makes everybody think that he got fired because he was being censored. Even if he didn't say that explicitly, clearly that was the insinuation, and you couldn't have not known that that would be the case. Like, Owen's not stupid. He knows just as well as I do the lies that people tell about InfoWars and the way that mixing in complaints about Alex Jones looking over your shoulder with your Why I Left InfoWars stream was going to give people the wrong impression, make people think that you were, you know, doing something brave, standing up against censorship, going out on your own, taking this risk because you just couldn't be silenced. You know exactly how that was going to come across. And it was dishonest to frame it that way. And it's, you know, I don't know how many tweets I've seen of people who are like, yeah, I'm done with InfoWars now. I can't believe what you did to Owen. Nobody did anything to Owen. Owen has his own show. He had total creative and intellectual control. He could do whatever the hell he wanted. But he wasn't satisfied. His ambitions couldn't be contained. And so he, on his own volition and for his own reasons, decided to quit. And Alex said, okay. But now we're the bad guys. So I get it now.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue and the Ultimate CMOS on a monthly basis. Take 5-year supplements. So it's been helping me out for the last 3 years, lost 22 pounds. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I was honestly in the chat on Rumble, bashing, like, getting sick of Alex plugging it. But I tell you what, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I actually subscribe monthly now to it. And I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I was so bad with the MS. I was in a wheelchair. That Methylene Blue is able to get everything that you're taking, all your antibiotics or whatever medicines you're taking, supplements, It, what it does, it helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. Methylene blue will help things push it through to where it needs to go. I was at my store, and I keep the TV on at my store of InfoWars, and I heard Alex Jones talking about methylene blue. Well, right away, my ears perked up because I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I ordered two bottles of it because you had to buy one, get one free. So I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing. I take the capsules twice. I take two of those a day.
And you're saying with the methylene blue, you're taking it with ivermectin, and you're using our methylene blue, and it's
yeah.
You regressed, but now you're taking this and you're back to being normal, or what's your level at
I'm
right
walking.
Now? Okay.
No, I'm, you know, I own a jewelry store and I'm able to, don't get me wrong, I have bad days.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something, I'm walking without a cane.
Okay.
And the bad days that I may have, maybe like once every couple weeks, but I'm able to speak properly where my everything was lagging with me.
Right.
The lesions were showing very bright in my brain. And when I started on the methylene blue, which I couldn't take the liquid. I bought the liquid, but I just couldn't get it down. And I was trying to find like a concoction.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the pills came out. So I ordered the pills. I take two of those a day. I've been taking that with everything else, with the ivermectin. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Well, that is great to hear.
To
you know,
talk to you.
Because, you know, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good for, you know, the products that we offer to people. And, you know, the methylene blue, it really has been a game changer around here in terms of people getting it and seeing effects immediately, being able to to acquire that quality of life they want. And that's really great to hear.
I will put money on it. Like I said, I used to have to pay $10,000 a week to get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is,
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Well, thank you.
Me having it.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so
and thank
much.
You for helping your family too, because, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to tell their family. They don't want to say anything because then, oh, you're supposed to mind your own business and not tell people about health. That's a doctor's job, you know, but no, it is our job to tell our families, hey, this is what I found out. This is what I found that works. Why don't you try it?
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
We're going to move on to the actual news now. I could just been literally the entire show just responding to people on X. I'm telling you, it's bizarro world. It really is. What's worse than bizarro world? Retardo world. It's retardo world. You know, when the evil Superman shows up, imagine that, except it's Down syndrome Superman showing up out of the comics. I don't understand. I just had somebody go, Alex wouldn't let you guys cover the Israeli pedophile that was, caught in Las Vegas. I spent an entire show on that. I talked about that for 3 hours straight the day that it happened. So what are we talking about? Like, this is why it's so impossible to deal with. It's like you spend an entire show talking about something, and then you got people online asserting that you've never talked about it because you're being censored, and they've got like 100 up like likes, and it's like, I guess I just shouldn't interact with it. you know, and I was reading about the AI, the pre-crime AI, is what do you say, Israeli ontology, the Gideon program. I think maybe we need a bit of a Gideon movement. So I was reading about Gideon in the Bible. I think it was Gideon, right? He had a giant army, and God was like, you don't need this giant army. You got to send home the stupid people. You got to send home the lazy people. You got to send home the cowards, and he's left with 300 people, and that's what he has to win. That's, we need a little bit of Gideon action, I think, in the right wing. Because we like, people don't understand the forces that they're fighting. Which is weird, because they spend all day, every day talking about them, yet they have no understanding of what they're fighting. It's very odd. You'd think if you actually had a full comprehensive understanding of the things you talk about, you would understand that being an obnoxious bent about it and, you know, undercutting the people on your side, your own allies that have done significantly more work than you will ever accomplish. Maybe you don't actually understand the things that you're talking about. Maybe you're just reciting things that all of us have known for decades and incorporated to a wider and more comprehensive and holistic worldview in which we can actually pursue tangible freedoms rather than just bitching and tearing each other down constantly. Or maybe you guys are smarter. Maybe you guys get it more than us. You're just learning about it after all. You've got those fresh eyes on it, you know? Something like that. All right. We'll start talking about this. Again, it's like literally on the day that Owen's, or Alex is talking about Owen, and Owen's like, I was, you know, he doesn't like the Israel stuff. He has on Colonel Douglas McGregor, like number one anti-Israel spokesperson in the world. Okay. That all makes perfect sense. It all makes perfect sense. You just think that the people who spend all day, every day investigating conspiracies, trying to find the truth about things would be better at it. One might think that would be the case, but it's not actually. It's actually not the case at all. All right. So we'll get into it. We got a lot of international news to get into. We'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 3rd of September, 2025. U.S. military destroys Trinidad Aragua drug boat carrying 11 narco terrorists near Venezuela. TDA terrorists running narcotics from Venezuela to the U.S. were eliminated in a precision strike. A vessel transporting drugs and terrorists from Venezuela was obliterated by the U.S. by a U.S. military vessel in the Caribbean Sea on Tuesday, Trump has revealed. We just, over the last few minutes, literally shot out a boat, a drug-carrying boat, a lot of drugs in that boat, the president announced during a press conference in the Oval Office. And you'll be seeing that, and you'll be reading about that. It just happened moments ago. Secretary of State Marco Rubio confirmed the operational success in a statement shortly after. I once again find myself torn between principally being against extrajudicial killing by the American government, especially against people committing crime rather than engaging in acts of war, and the necessity to do something about the, you know, insane amounts of drugs flooding into our border and just the general lawlessness that has surrounded our border for the last couple of years. So I'm a little bit torn about that one.
We're bragging about taking down 11 dudes in a speedboat.
Yeah, it's not exactly the most heroic thing the U.S. Armed Forces have ever been a part of. And I also still think that the whole beef between U.S. and Venezuela has a hell of a lot more to do with Venezuela's position on Israel and helping Iran and the whole trade, the oil that Venezuela has, and the fact they're using Iranian contractors and even have Hezbollah branches in operation in Venezuela. I have a feeling it has a lot to do with that, considering the fact that it just falls in line with the overall pattern of Israel systematically eliminating every government aligned against it, including killing basically the entire Yemeni government, including assassinating the prime minister, which they did for Iran. Now they're doing for Venezuela. So I think it has more to do with that. I think it has more to do with, again, using America as the sledgehammer, the golem, to take out Israel's enemies one by one across the world under whatever excuse they need to invoke to justify it. But that's just speculation. Meanwhile, Xi Jinping says China is unstoppable and world faces peace or war as Putin and Kim join him for military parade. Xi Jinping addressed the nation, emphasizing the importance of choosing between peace and war during a military parade commemorating the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. The parade featured advanced military hardware, including missiles and fighter jets, showcasing China's military strength and aspirations for greater global influence. World leaders such as Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un attended the event, highlighting China's growing geopolitical influence. As the event concluded, 80,000 doves were released, symbolizing peace despite tensions with the United States. And they've unveiled a bunch of new weapons, apparently, and are just talking about dominating economically, which, of course, is the inevitable consequence of driving our enemies into each other's arms by creating pointless wars against places like Russia, because the ultimate fear is European nationalism stopping the rise of globalism. I don't know. Strange alliances, I guess, being formed. Or strange strings being pulled. More than 30,000 pages of Epstein-related documents released by House Oversight Committee. The House Oversight Committee on Tuesday released more than 33,000 pages of Epstein-related documents. Quote, today, the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform released 33,295 pages of Epstein-related records that were provided by the U.S. Department of Justice. On August 5th, Chairman Comer issued a subpoena for records related to Mr. Jeffrey Epstein, and the Department of Justice has indicated it would continue producing those records while ensuring the redaction of victim identities and any child sexual abuse material, the Oversight Committee said. Late last month, the Justice Department delivered thousands of documents related to Jeffrey Epstein to the House Oversight Committee, and we'll go over some of those documents and what we can learn from them in just a moment. But the Epstein saga continues. Alarm after FBI arrests U.S. Army veteran for conspiracy over protest against ICE. Legal experts say charges against Afghanistan war veteran Bajun Mavawala II mark an escalation in the Trump administration's crackdown on First Amendment rights. The arrest of a U.S. Army veteran who protested against the Trump administration's immigration crackdown has raised alarms among legal experts and his fellow veterans familiar with his service in Afghanistan. Bajun Mavawala II, a former Army sergeant who survived a roadside bomb blast on special operation vehicle mission in Afghanistan, was charged in July with conspiracy to impede or injure officers after joining a demonstration against federal Immigration and Customs Enforcement in Spokane, Washington. Legal experts say the case marks an escalation in the administration's attacks on First Amendment rights. Afghanistan war veterans who know him say the case against Mavawala appears unjust. It's like, again, it's like, okay, where were you on January 6th? Show me an article on The Guardian that celebrates Joe Biggs's heroic military service and talks about friends of the veteran have said this arrest is unfair. Show me the articles about how Stuart Rhodes was railroaded, about his free speech being threatened. So it's like, these people don't actually care about any of that. That's obvious. I actually do care about that. But at this point, it's like, yeah, we gotta do to them what they did to us. Like, it sucks. I know it does suck. I do wish that we didn't live in a world where people were arrested for protesting. But the Democrats shouldn't have done that. I mean, they shouldn't have opened that Pandora's box. They shouldn't have justified that or set the precedent for that. They shouldn't have unleashed the DOJ against peaceful people on January 6th, try to send a signal to the rest of us that we would be silent as we're oppressed. Like, I just can't care. I mean, what am I supposed to care about this now? Oh, now you guys care about this, do you? I don't even believe this anyway. The 11 June protest against ICE that led to Malavawa, Whatever's arrest was confrontational, leaving government's van windshield smashed and tire slashed. But Mavalawala was not one of the more than two dozen people arrested at the scene. More than a month passed before the FBI arrived at his door on the 15th of July. The 35-year-old who used his GI Bill to earn a degree in sustainable communities. Oh, good. He was set to move into a 3,000-square-foot house that day, which he'd bought with his girlfriend. Okay, so again, it's like, I mean, do people see how easily the media picks and chooses when to actually have values and actually support? Like, the paragraph I just read has absolutely nothing to do with the arrest, with his history, his political belief. They're just telling you about him to make you sympathetic to him. Because he's protesting ICE and they don't like ICE. Because this is a vulnerability they see they can attack Trump through. They do not care about veterans. They don't care about free speech. This is the Guardian, okay? They're in the UK. If they want to talk about free speech, they'll be arrested. Okay, so they can shut up. They can shut up about free speech. They can shut up about the veterans. They can shut up about the right to protest. They are the faction that is systematically eliminating these things. So I don't take their complaints seriously at all. Again, it's sort of painful because I actually do understand and have genuine reverence for the underlying morals that they're invoking here in a dishonest and underhanded way. So I would like to see a world where you can protest without problems, but their form of protesting is throwing cinder blocks and moving cars. So, yeah, we got to just arrest him, unfortunately. Sucks, but that's the way it is. They tell you about his father. Oh, he brought a truck to help him move. Oh, my gosh. Oh, he was going to move, guys. I mean, literally, it's like, this sounds like the intro to like a, you know, true crime murder mystery or something. Just like they had the perfect life, set to move into a 3,000-square-foot house, which he'd bought with his girlfriend, a nurse and fellow Afghanistan war veteran with the help of a loan backed by the Department of Veteran Affairs. His father, a retired U.S. Army intelligence officer with three Bronze Stars earned during tours in Afghanistan and Iraq, brought his truck for the occasion. He planned to move his son into a dream home in the bucolic southern section of Spokane that was large enough to accommodate their blended family. Mavwala has one child. His girlfriend, Caitlin Gaston, has three to solidify the couple's life together. Here they are. There's just this all-American family. The Brady Bunch, their dad bringing up his truck to help him move in when all of the sudden they were attacked by the Trump administration. And it's like, do you see how pathetic this attempt to emotionally manipulate you is? Obviously, the man was involved in the organization of a riot that caused damage and probably injuries to federal agents. So he got arrested. Oh, sorry, he was moving into a new house. Maybe you shouldn't be, you know, coordinating military operations against our law enforcement on American soil. Maybe you shouldn't do that. You remember, I mean, there have been like five cases in the last like 2 months of like military-style guerrilla ambushes against ICE agents where they set off explosives or light a building on fire and then they're lying in wait with rifles to assassinate them. You know we got to kind of take this seriously, right? You know that your side is so absolutely insane and out of control that, like, putting you down like rabid dogs is the only course of action you've left available to us. I'm sorry, but you've caught rabies. And you love it, and you're drinking the rabies concoction down with everything you've got, so we have to knock the glass out of your hand and then put you in a cage for a couple years. Okay, that's just how it has to be. Sorry. Mavwal and his co-defendants physically blocked the driveway of the federal facility and or physically pushed against officers despite orders to disperse and efforts to remove them from the property. Okay, so we fought the cops. Wow. What a family man. And a one-minute video posted on Instagram shows the Army veteran briefly jostle. Oh, he's just jostling? Okay. I thought he was maybe fighting or pushing or, you know, aggressively interacting with. It was just a jostle. I didn't realize it was just a jostle. Enrique Tarrio was in prison in a different city on January 6th, and they sentenced him to 22 years in prison. Where were your articles about that, Guardian? He didn't even jostle anyone. I mean, on the spectrum of, crime intensity, he was below jostle. So where were your articles about that? The conspiracy count carries a maximum penalty of 6 years in prison, a $250,000 fine, and 3 years of supervised release. He was released on his own recognizance while awaiting trial, the judge even giving him permission to travel to Disneyland for a previously planned family vacation. it's what I've been talking about forever. The disequality, something beyond inequality. Or it's like, on one hand, you've got a guy who wasn't even in the same city as a place where a riot was started by the cops on January 6th. He goes to jail for, sentenced to jail for nearly two decades, spends 2 years in pretrial detention, half been in solitary confinement when he didn't do anything. It wasn't even in the same town as something that happened. Meanwhile, the guy who's on video physically fighting cops is like, oh yeah, go to Disneyland. You gotta watch. You planned a Disneyland trip? Well, we can't interfere with that. Go ride some rides. Go get your picture with Goofy, and you report back to us for the slap on the wrist later. Okay, sweetheart. Yeah, I'm not really conflicted about this anymore. Send him to jail. Sorry, I thought I'd be conflicted about this. I'm actually not. Send him to jail. Make him a symbol. Maybe we need a shock and awe campaign. Maybe we need to have very visible and like outrageous arrests and like, I don't know, maybe a show trial on primetime where we can present only the information that makes them seem guilty and then refuse them an opportunity to argue back. Maybe we just do what the Democrats did to us. But for now, I'll be fine with just actually arresting the people that are physically assaulting ICE facilities. Thanks. It's great. Thank you. Finally, we have this. Democrats are losing the crime debate because they've run America's cities for decades. Donald Trump has cracked down on crime in Washington, D.C., and the operation has been so successful that his team is looking to expand operations to other cities. One of the main criticisms from the left comes in the form of an accusation that Trump is only targeting Democrat-controlled areas in blue states. They claim there's plenty of crime in red states like Louisiana. While it's true there's plenty of crime in red states, the problem tends to come from red state cities, which are controlled by Democrats and have been for years. The next time somebody on the left makes this claim, simply ask them to name a major city that's controlled by Republicans. There pretty much aren't. Trump apparently is planning to send National Guard to Baltimore and Chicago. Are his next two positions. Just like every story in this stack today. I don't like the idea of federal agents as domestic law enforcement. But again, I also have to weigh that against the right of American people to live in a city that they actually have access to and can enjoy. Because when you talk about liberty, there's positive rights and there's negative rights. And the idea that you cannot go downtown because you'll be murdered means you're not free. You're not at liberty. You know, there's this idea of, call it like 7-Eleven nationalism, where it's the idea that you should be able to leave your girlfriend in an unlocked and running car in front of 7-Eleven at 2 a.m. And there's no reason why a sophisticated, advanced civilization can't have basic safety in our major cities, even in the middle of the night. It's absolutely possible. It's not just possible, it's eminently doable. There's evidence all over the world, places like Japan, where there's just pretty much no crime. Like, it's actually like astonishing when it comes to Japan. Like, they almost have no crime, and their conviction rate is like 99.9% because culturally, criminals just confess when they get caught. They're just like, if you get caught as a murderer, it's like dishonorable to try to fight it when you know you're guilty. So you just go, yeah, I did it. I'm guilty. And so I've got quotes that I'll show you later today, I believe, of the Chicago mayor. Here's a story from Ground News. Trump says he will order a federal intervention in Chicago and Baltimore despite local opposition. And I believe it was, I think it's the governor Pritzker made the statement where he's just like, crime is just part and parcel with living in a big city. Similar to, you know, Sadiq Khan's statement that terrorism is part and parcel with, you know, living in a big city. Democrat Illinois Governor Pritzker says crime just part of living in a big city, attacks President Trump. And then again, you look at Tokyo, which is the biggest city in the world. Breathtaking to see it sprawled out endlessly as far as the eye can see. High-rise buildings. No crime. Like, pretty much no crime. In Tokyo, people do not lock their bikes up. They, little kids, just leave their backpacks outside of stores to go in. Nobody takes it. Nobody steals it. So I feel like I'm seeing an inconsistency here, Pritzker. How can it be that the modern world, big cities, are just intrinsically rife with crime if the biggest city in the world, Tokyo, doesn't have any crime? Well, explain that to me. Could it be something other than the fact that it's a city? Like, it's such a, it is such like a poisonous view to take, because you'll be confirmed in that assumption if you treat it crime like an inevitability when it comes to big city. Like, it's, I have a hard time even expressing how crazy that is to say. That these people genuinely believe and want you to believe that there's nothing they can do about crime in a big city. What? I mean, that is just so absolutely absurd. I don't even know what to make of it. But people believe that. And even if they haven't like thought about it, sort of intrinsically, like subconsciously, that is what they believe. And I've talked about this a million times when it comes to Japan, because going to Japan, it was this revelation to me of, oh, right, the chaos, the misery, the theft, the robbery, the murder, that's not intrinsic as just a part of the modern world. It's not just a law of physics that the more advanced and, you know, technological your environment becomes, the more chaotic and violent and insane it is. That is just purely the result of deliberate choices that our policymakers have made over the last couple decades. There's absolutely no relationship between the size of a city or the presence of a city and the rate of crime. That's just completely arbitrary. It's a total illusion. Don't fall for it. Crime is not incumbent on cities.
What really makes a nutraceutical work? What is a nutraceutical? What is a supplement? Yeah, I mean, let's just talk about power plant, for example. So methyl drive is something that everyone, whether they're 12 or whether they're 90, they should all take it. Power plant is a little bit more specific. It's good for both men and women. I would say it has a stronger, more pronounced factor on the younger side, especially people that are into high intensity exercise. Key ingredient in that is cordyceps, which increases your oxygen carrying capacity, but it also increases ATP, and it also helps you make new mitochondria. So imagine taking something like cordyceps found in power plant and then combining it with methyl drive. But oh, wait, there's also total male mineral support in power plant. We've got zinc, which increases luteinizing hormone, which makes you produce more testosterone. But then to counteract the rise in sex hormone binding globulin, we include boron in it to increase your free testosterone. That's something that normal formulas don't do. We've got the thing that creates free testosterone in your body in power plant, according to studies. That's Mainline. You can Google it.
And not all CoQ10 is the same, right?
Everyone should take CoQ10. Listen, and if you're going to take CoQ10, you're going to go to some store or some pharmacy, and they're going to try to sell you a bottle with the same amount that's in here for like $50. You get CoQ10 plus four other ingredients with this. It's true.
And the same amount.
Same amount. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our ultramethylene blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any like man or woman, young and old, if you're on methylene blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl drive is something that every person in the country should take.
So the methylene blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is the nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.
conference with Ro Khanna and Thomas Massey with the Epstein survivors is happening in D.C. So we're going to go to that live. And we'll break it and comment if we need to. But this just broke, and we'll go to this. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls. And, of course, remember, you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is the place to go to keep us on the air and in the fight and transforming, like metamorphosizing, like a beautiful butterfly. That's what we should refer to this era of InfoWars as. We're in our cocoon. We've been in the bankruptcy cocoon for 2 years, but the chrysalis is breaking. We're protruding our first antenna, ready to emerge, remade as a beautiful, majestic butterfly. Support us in this evolution by going to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. With that, let's go to this press conference happening live in Washington, D.C.
The world is watching. And before I step away, I wanted to add one quick thought. Let's stop calling it an Epstein client list. And let's call it what it actually is. It's Epstein's sex buyer list. Thank you. I'm so proud and honored to be here today. My name is Lisa Phillips, and I am the host of an award-winning podcast, From Now On, where I interview survivors. In the year 2000, I was taken to Jeffrey Epstein's island while on a photo shoot in the Caribbean. Who I saw and what I experienced there would change me forever. For months, I had to avoid Jeffrey. But he told me that if I wanted to succeed as a Ford model, he could make it happen. And he was right. He introduced me to Katie Ford and many others in the entertainment business. His grip on the modeling business was undeniable. Not just the Ford family, but Victoria's Secret, Faith Cates, Jean-Luc Brunel, Victoria's Secret. Epstein's reach went to the very top of fashion. He could make a model's career. What I didn't realize then was that once he lured someone like me in, he could also destroy my career if I did not do what he wanted me to do. In New York City, countless young women were abused by him. Everyone in the industry knew, yet he was too powerful to stop. He had friends in all over entertainment and arts, and his value to those friends made him untouchable. But I ask you why. Who was he to our government that he was allowed to operate openly for decades? Why was he allowed to sponsor visas for young models using their immigration status as leverage to abuse them and silence them? Epstein was not just a serial predator. He was an international human trafficker. And many around him knew this. Many participated and many profited. And yet he was protected. I know what it's like to be trafficked to others. And I know that the files contain the names of powerful men who have been shielded because of their fame or their fortune. So I stand here today, not just for myself, but for every woman who has been silenced, exploited, and dismissed.
Thank you.
All right, folks, so we're watching this press conference with the survivors of the Epstein sex ring, and we'll maybe we can pause it and just go back to that because I really don't want to miss much of this. I'm not sure how much it's going to go on. Watch Jeffrey Epstein victims speak at the Capitol. So they're at the Capitol today speaking, saying, stop calling it a client list, asking who was he to our government that they let him get away with this. And again, laying out that this was a true sprawling conspiracy with hundreds, if not thousands, of co-conspirators who all kept their mouths shut and are all still working and out there and, you know, unconvicted to this day. So we'll return to that on the other side as this continues to be a easily winnable saga for the Trump administration.
You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. You give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theultrasore.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, thealexostore.com.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Victims are giving a press conference right now with Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna. We go back to this broadcast live from the Capitol in Washington, D.C.
And Ghislaine Maxwell, some things I want to say. To any survivors out there who feel like they don't matter, it doesn't matter if you went once or countless times. We were groomed, we were manipulated, and we were taken advantage of.
Yep.
For decades, survivors have been suffocated by speculation. We've been mocked. We've been doubted. We've been re-traumatized. While those responsible hide in secrecy. Why don't we deserve justice? This is not partisan.
One of the excuses that the Trump administration made to not release the Epstein files was they wanted to protect the survivors. They didn't want to re-traumatize them. Well, here are the survivors telling you, they want justice for what they went through. Let's go back.
Our children and honoring the dignity of survivors. Everywhere we turn, the story follows us. It's in headlines, jokes, music, grocery store checkout lines, random conversations that you hear people having in restaurants. For more than 20 years, we've been unable to escape it. And every time new promises are made, our sparks of hope are lit, only to be extinguished again. We are tired. However, we are not going away.
Right.
We will not stop or give up, and we will be on the front lines of this battle. We are no longer scared. And let's be clear. There were so many enabling adults. Those enablers actively turned a blind eye, and they are the greatest danger.
Yes.
And you know who you are,
yep.
As do we. You allowed us to be abused for a fat check and a cushy life, which you still have. And to those in power, hear us clearly. Do your job. Release what needs to be released.
Yep. Yes.
And hold those responsible accountable. Survivors, sorry.
Thank you.
Survivors deserve peace. Survivors deserve truth. Survivors deserve justice. And to my fellow survivors, your voice matters, your story matters, and you matter. Together we are louder than the silence. Together we will not stop until justice is done.
Thank you.
So again, this is the Stand With Survivors press conference being held by Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna with the survivors of the Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking ring.
What an incredible feeling, and thank you for everybody for being here. I'm going to try to make this as quick so the other girls don't have to be crunching for time. My name is Haley Robson. I came out in 2019 on the documentary Filthy Rich. I have been very focused on bringing more awareness to all of the survivors. I am so proud to stand with them. I am so proud to be up here to support them because they deserve all the love and support. And I just want to say to the women who chose this moment to come out for the very first time about your abuse, I cannot think of a more important, greater purpose in life than to stand in solidarity when time is against us, when the politicians have made us an enemy, when the world is watching and everybody is hoping for some type of result. Thank you for choosing this moment for the first time to be so brave to come out and stand in solidarity. I prayed for a moment. I prayed for this moment where God would fill us with reinforcements. I want to acknowledge all the women, unfortunately, that couldn't be here today, because I think that is the only list of real great importance. And we should never forget the voices that were not only silenced, but that are not here today. We should never forget the sacrifices that they made. So today I would like to take a moment for Virginia, Sky, Danielle, and Carolyn. Their voices were just as powerful, and they were silenced just as much. And for some reason, I can feel their spirit, especially Virginia's today. She would be so proud, and she would be so beside herself to see this one moment we have all came together to unite. And for our government, and for the politicians who have taken our trauma and have weaponized it against us, making it unbearable, making it unlivable, making it hard to move on in a life that we wish to live in happiness and joy and peace and injustice that can only come from within at this point. And we have gotten to this point. Shame on you. Shame on you for using our trauma to weaponize this moment. We are not going to be fooled by your trickery. We are not going to be fooled by the lies, by the conspiracy theories. We are the keys to this situation. We have the truth. And the FBI knows the truth. The government knows the truth. You may pull the wool over the sheep's eyes, but we are the keys. We know who was involved. We know the game. We know the players. And we are sitting here for 20 years waiting for you to get up and do something. Well, guess what? Your time is up, and now we're doing it. How do you follow that? Hello, everybody. My name is Wendy Passante, and I was abused by Jeffrey Epstein when I was 14 years old. I'm not here to relive what happened. I'm here to be counted and to make sure others are counted, too. I once believed my silence was strength. Hold it together. Don't draw attention. Today I know that strength sounds like my voice. It sounds like everybody's voice is up here. Silence only protects predators, not children. People ask, what about the victims? We're here. We're here today. And there's more of us. I stand with many who are still finding their words. I live in a world where being understood is a struggle, where people in power would rather sweep us under the rug in hopes that we'll go away. We won't. Being a survivor is not a headline. It's our life. We have to live it. It's panic in a grocery store. It's smiling at work while my hands tremble. It's waking up at 3 a.m. with my heart racing and not knowing why. It's living with PTSD, anxiety, and depression, and your nervous system's on guard at all times, even in the safest room around the safest people. Yep. Healing isn't tidy. It's therapy. It's wait lists. It's trying a medication and trying again over and over for years. It's setting boundaries with some people who won't understand. Survival isn't weakness, it's wisdom we've earned. If you are a survivor hearing me, your voice is never too late, too much, or too little. If all you could do was show up today, you're already trying to make a difference. Yes. Yes. You do not owe anyone your story. You are owed safety, care, and belief. Your breath is proof that harm does not get the last word.
Right.
I'm not asking anyone to take a political side. I really don't even follow a lot of politics. I'm asking you to take a stand in solidarity. Protect the vulnerable, not the powerful.
Right.
Protect children and survivors,
right.
Not titles and reputations.
Right.
Our silence doesn't keep us safe. And I hope today's courage from all of us ladies can help someone else be safer tomorrow.
Yeah.
We are here and we refuse to be erased. So thank you guys for listening to all of us and being here today.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for being here. As I stand here today and look around, I want to acknowledge what it feels like to be in the presence of these incredibly brave, powerful women that I stand up here with. I am so empowered by each and every one of your fortitude, and I am following in the brave footsteps of those that came before me. While we each have our own stories and walk down different paths of life, we are bonded together as survivors. When I look into these beautiful faces, I am reminded that we all started our journeys with big hopes and dreams. Jeffrey Epstein and his co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell, stole and systematically destroyed those dreams. We are a mosaic of shattered hopes and dreams at their hands. As an aspiring dancer, the manipulation came in forms of offering me dance studio space, discussing opportunities to meet with ballet masters, and aiding a very ill family member of mine, none of which would ever come to pass. Instead, I was left in a cycle of abuse that wore me down and broke me. When it happened, I would have to completely disassociate. Similar to a coma, my brain would need to protect itself, so I would retreat in choreographing in my own head to escape the cruel acts that were being carried out on my body. After, I would go to the studio bundled in giant, baggy clothing. I remember standing there, staring in the mirror as if it were an empty void. I was past the point of tears. There was nothing left. I was a hollow shell of myself. I could no longer watch my body move, let alone dance. He had taken something sacred from me. 2 decades later, I am still experiencing lingering effects of what happened to me as a teenager. I am just one story in the mosaic of women taking back their power by confronting the horrific truths of their pasts due to Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. We stand here today in the nation's capital for no other reason than to say that women's voices will not be marginalized. We stand together as a mosaic of stories, but we're also finding our way back to ourselves. We are reclaiming the fragmented shards of the hopes and dreams of our past to paint a better future for the next generation of women. This story has come to Washington to be told. We will be heard. Thank you.
All right, so folks, again, we're watching the Stand With Survivors press conference being hosted by Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna, just some of the Epstein survivors speaking out about why they're standing up against this, why they want people to sign the demand from Thomas Massie to release the Epstein files. Well, we'll go to some videos to explain that in just a second. And what they're focused on, obviously, as victims are the victims and the crimes actually committed by Jeffrey Epstein and his cohorts. But obviously there's a much bigger story here, which is the reason that the government allowed this abuse to go on. The usefulness of a man like Jeffrey Epstein to intelligence agencies around the world. And so there's a couple things to note about that. For one, again, not to criticize the victims in any way, but who are the powerful? I mean, do they know who the powerful men are, and can they just tell us who they are? That's one thing I've never really understood, is you've got survivors going, there are these very powerful men on the island, and their names will come out. And it's like, but you're in front of a microphone. Just tell us who they are. And again, not to criticize, I'm sure they're like, well, I don't want to die, so I'm not going to say these things. But I don't know. If it was me, I think the first thing I'd do would be, here's who raped me. This person, this person, this person. Part of me is like, and the same, you know, and they say, you know, he knew thousands of people. Woman earlier said he knew artists and musicians and people in industry and scientists. And so it is, you know, an example of one of these cases that we're constantly told is impossible, where you have thousands and thousands of people involved in heinous crimes together in the highest levels of our government, industry, entertainment. And they're all keeping the secret, and they're all watching each other's backs, and they're all pulling strings to make sure it never comes out. So just anytime anybody tells you that they don't believe conspiracy theories, because that would require so many people holding this secret for so long, and humans just don't do that. It's impossible. If somebody would leak, it would come out. Well, not if it's a, you know, whole of government, whole of deep state operation to keep this silence. Not when you have every strata of the society infiltrated. So you can cover it up at the local level. You can interfere when the DA gets involved. You can send down, which really all you really need is the federal level, which is the beauty of having, you know, control of the federal government, is anytime one of your little operations almost gets exposed at the local level, well, you just send down a man in a black suit with a federal agent badge, steps in and goes, this is our case now. We'll take it from here. This is bigger than you understand. You're messing with forces beyond your comprehension. You leave it to us. All right. We'll take care of it. And then they just drop it. And then they just drop the case and never do anything about it and move on. So that's the real convenience of, you know, hijacking a society at the top level. But they've infiltrated at every level, as we saw with Alexandrovich, the Israeli pedophile being let go because there's an Israeli DA with that position capable of carrying out that order. So women talk about being 14 years old and having their innocence stolen. I thought it was an interesting comment when she said, you know, I thought my silence was my strength, but now I realize I need to speak out. So again, you've got multiple levels of this, but I think it's important to highlight the pain and suffering and victimization of these innocent young women. Well, because, you know, again, while I'm more sort of concerned about the way the videos were being used as blackmail, what decisions were made on the basis of that blackmail, how this has contributed to our overall fall, the connections Epstein has with Ehud Barak and Peter Thiel and the surveillance networks and the Bill Gates, you know, technology aspect to it. To me, there's a lot of big higher level stuff, but at the basis is this horrible sin and this brutal victimization against innocent people. And it just makes everything else kind of put into sharper focus. We all know about blackmail rings. We all know about, you know, these secret conspiracies that go on. There's something like intrinsic about it that, like, what they do is destroy people. They persist off human blood in a symbolic way. And again, it shouldn't even be that surprising. I mean, you're talking about people. I was thinking about yesterday with the, you know, the claims of things like the Frazzle Drip video, where it's like the, you know, this idea, it's so crazy, this idea that like our elites would be like killing children. Like, what? It's so evil. These are the very same people that have started all of the wars over the last several decades. You're telling me it's unbelievable that somebody who is directly responsible for the deaths of millions of innocent people wouldn't want to victimize a little girl, would have a compunction, would that would be beyond the pale? These people are sickeningly evil, and the human suffering at the heart of their conspiracy is just emblematic of their overall evil. I mean, that's just what we're dealing with here. So again, while I tend to focus more on the 30,000 foot view, the conspiracy, the government entanglements, the intelligence operation, at the heart of all of that is just little girls being kidnapped and raped and silenced for decades. It's sort of the foundation our entire system is built on at this point. The bodies of innocents. We'll go back to this. We'll continue this out for the next segment. I do want to open up the phone lines for your calls, and we'll put all this in a little bit of context because we have Trump putting out a statement saying that basically every Republican who sides with Thomas Massie in this argument will be excommunicated, which I think is, again, just an outrageous overreaction. And to me, nothing more than a signal that, yeah, Trump's probably involved. I mean, why else would you put this out? So let's go back to this press conference.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Eric Fudali, and I've had the privilege of representing up to 11 survivors of Jeffrey Epstein, and one of them is standing next to me here today. This is Rosa. You may not realize this, but what I just did is the first time anyone has ever said Rosa's name publicly as being attached and being abused by Jeffrey Epstein. And this is also the first time she has ever appeared publicly as a survivor of Jeffrey Epstein. And I say that because it was last night that she flew into Washington, D.C., inspired by the solidarity of all of you, by the compassion of all of you, and by the courage of all of you to be here today. And I'm so proud of Rosa, and I'm so proud of all of you. But the truth is, Rosa shouldn't be here today. Rosa shouldn't have to be here today, and I'm going to tell you why. Because Rosa was trafficked from Uzbekistan under the guise of a modeling contract in 2009. That means that Rosa wouldn't be here today if Alex Acosta hadn't had Jeffrey Epstein in his grasp, had what every single law enforcement officer dreams of, to stop a predator in his tracks. And what did he do? He gave him a slap on the wrist and let him to continue to abuse. And had he not, Epstein never would have met Rosa, and Rosa would not have to be here today. But none of you should have to be here today. None of you should have to be there today, because if when Jeffrey Epstein was finally arrested in 2016 and under federal custody, he wouldn't have been allowed to take his own life and avoid the accountability and justice you all deserve. And none of you should be here today because Ghislaine Maxwell should not have been given a platform to deny the crimes against her, who was convicted. Who was convicted of trafficking and tricking 14-year-old girls. She should not have been given a platform, and she should not have been rewarded after that platform in a minimum security resort. And none of you should have to be here today.
Right, so again, because this is the press conference with the survivors of Jeffrey Epstein. We'll talk about the political drama surrounding this on the other side. Stay with us. It's AmericanJournalInfoWars.com.
All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy, feeling really great, fog lifting, to just over the top crying. It feels so good. Cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest Ultimate Flame Blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. Don't forget when he's on Owen to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you.
We'll see. Most people hit within about 30 minutes, starts peaking after a couple hours. But just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely, I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
Several weeks later.
You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. You were here a few weeks ago, and I do this with every guest, more than 50 of them now. Every person has had clarity, energy, a fog lift is the most common. But what's really good is the long-term effects for your stamina, your energy, your libido, your how hard you can work out. It's amazing. So I had forgotten when he was coming in, we gave him a bottle because he loved it.
Almost gone.
I had forgotten to ask you if you listened to it long-term. So just briefly, tell people the short-term effect, and then now a few weeks later, the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before, and it just gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
We'll give you some. How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I'll take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theallstreetsword.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, now 4 or 5 months ago, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it, I go, I don't know. I was like lifting way more, going way harder. And then I got really exhausted after about a week because the same thing happened to Rob Dew, who's a great long distance, bike rider. So he's quite the athlete. He said he was biking so hard up hills and stuff that he actually had to pull over because, his heart was going crazy. I mean, this stuff's wild.
Yeah, it's good. I like it better than doing like a 5-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
It's not a stimulant. It just skips the oxidization process somehow.
So I've been using it while I'm out there doing search and rescue. While I'm almost out.
You're saying you love it for working out. Has it gotten better over time, or what long-term thing have you felt, or if nothing?
Well, I think the main thing is it gives me a better workout, and that has good results over time. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I found without even knowing.
Yeah.
And then O'Keefe's like, oh, it made my vision better. And Rob Dew goes, we have a bunch of callers already saying that. Did you see these studies about it, like curing glaucoma? And I'm not going to say we're not selling this a drug. I'm not saying it's going to do that. I'm like, God, this stuff's crazy. No, they don't want you to know about it. It's like ivermectin.
Right, exactly. Old school stuff.
But you can't take it if you're on SSRIs. And folks, it's so strong. Talk to your doctor first because it's not a game. Ours is really strong. If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. The press conference just ended in Washington, D.C., with Gloria Allred, of all people, making the final statement. Hey, it's a bipartisan attempt to get justice here, which is just another example of another instance in which we should and could, and some are, finding common ground between the left and the right. But this really isn't a partisan thing. It's really not. To me, it's a justice thing, obviously, for the women involved, but more importantly, a national security thing. It's a national thing. It's the fact that Epstein was working for a foreign intelligence agency, which Ghislaine Maxwell and her father were and are prime members. But certainly not and shouldn't be a political divide. Now, that being said, the left has spent the better part of the last decade doing everything they possibly can to undercut concern about elite pedophilia, to mock and ridicule people speaking up about the sex trafficking rings being operated in elite circles of our government and business. They have produced news stories and just made it the butt of jokes. And we've showed videos here showing how just sort of inconsistent and ridiculous that stance was in the first place. Maybe I didn't even do it on the show. I think I did a little standalone video of it, of the show The Boys. Maybe I did talk about it on the show. The Boys on HBO or whatever it's on. Superhero show, and they have this whole subplot where there's like the right-wing QAnon conspiracy theorists, and it's just the whole time they're just rolling their eyes and mocking this idea of, oh, children kidnapped, really? You think that's happening? And of course, the whole thing is hilarious because one of the main, you know, show-wide plots of The Boys is that one of the characters herself was kidnapped as a child and bred to be a killing machine by a secret cabal of people. So, you know, a little bit inconsistent when you have one of your main characters who herself was kidnapped and was experimented on, then laughing at the concept that children are being, you know, experimented on, kidnapped. Doesn't make a lot of sense internally to their own logic, but the point is that they've made Hollywood productions and just really spent a lot of energy over the last decade or so trying to get people to not care about elite pedophilia. So now that they're suddenly deciding that Epstein victims are valid and worth listening to and something that they should be concerned about, it again is just a symbolic of their, again, in like the scene right after this. So here this character is having flashbacks to being a kidnapping victim. And then like in the next scene, the woman is like, children are being kidnapped. And this woman's like, people actually believe this crap? It's like, I'm telling you, the mind of a liberal, I mean, to be a liberal, it must be crazy. I mean, it must be like being a dog or something. You know, it's like, what is it like to be that inconsistent in your beliefs? Thomas Massey live? Let's go to Thomas Massey here at the speech. And we'll tell you about his political combat with Trump over this.
We are sending, this is a litmus test. Can we drain the swamp? Are there people who are outside of the reach of the law? I don't think there should be. So hopefully today we'll get two more signatures on the discharge petition. That's all we need. And with that, I want to introduce the bravest woman in Congress, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I find it interesting that the three Republican co-sponsors are women. These are women standing up for women. And Marjorie was the first to do it. And I think she deserves all of our gratitude for breaking that barrier and leading the way for the other Republicans. Hopefully they can find their spines as well. And with that, I give you Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Good morning. This is my fifth year in Congress, and this is the largest press conference that I've seen since I've been here. And this is because this is an issue that matters so much to Americans. This is an issue that doesn't have political boundaries. It's an issue that Republicans and Democrats should never fight about. As a matter of fact, it's such an important issue that it should bring us all together. It's grieved me to watch the arguments and debates take place among my colleagues and even the administration. I think this is something that was worth fighting for. You see, the women behind me are going to tell you stories that you've never heard before. These are unimaginable horrors that they've lived with for their entire lives since they were very, very young. But these are also similar stories that many children, teenagers, women, and even men are enduring nightmares right now as we speak. You see, these women have been fighting since the 1990s. I heard one woman tell us yesterday since 1996. And they have carried with them shame. But I want to tell you something. The shame does not fall on these brave, courageous women. The shame falls on every single person that coldly turned a blind eye to their abuse. The shame falls on every single person that enabled it. The shame falls on every single person that took money to continue it. And the shame falls on the people in power over the past several decades that protected the monster, Jeffrey Epstein, and his cabal that continued a nightmare. Those people deserve the shame. And today we are coming forward and we are going to fight like hell for these women, because we have to fight like hell for those that are enduring sexual abuse and are living in a prison of shame. Anyone that is being abused, it is not your fault. You should live with no guilt or fear or shame. All of the fault belongs to the evil people that do these things to the innocent. This is the most important fight we can wage here in Congress, is fighting for innocent people that never receive justice. And the women behind me have never received justice. And do you want to know why? It's because Jeffrey Epstein somehow was able to walk among the most rich, powerful people, not only in America, but foreign countries. Yesterday, I heard countries like Saudi Arabia, Russia, and even Israel, and other countries. The truth needs to come out, and the government holds the truth. The cases that are sealed hold the truth. Jeffrey Epstein's estate holds the truth. The FBI, the DOJ, and the CIA holds the truth. And the truth we are demanding come out on behalf of these women, but also as a strong message to every innocent child, teenager, woman, and man that is being held captive in abuse. This should never happen in America, and it should never be a political issue that divides us. And I want to thank Ro Khanna and Thomas Massey for doing something brave, crossing political boundaries for a very important fight. And I'm honored to join both of them. And I'm honored that Nancy Mace and Lauren Boebert signed the discharge petition along with myself. And I asked my Republican colleagues not to choose just one path for justice and transparency and accountability, but I asked my Republican colleagues to choose every path for justice and accountability and transparency. And with that, I'd like to bring back Congressman Ro Khanna to start this important press conference. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Congresswoman Green, for your courage and for being here. And thank you again to Congressman Massey for co-leading it. I now would like to introduce two people who have been fighting this for decades. They haven't had their voice heard. The victims haven't been heard. They haven't just been on this in the last few months. They've been doing this in the wilderness for years, and they are really models of courage. Bradley Edwards and Brittany Henderson, who are the attorneys for the victims. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Ro and Thomas Massey. I really appreciate you putting forth this discharge petition. It's tough to understand that we have to be here, because this doesn't seem like a partisan issue. This is an issue. Sex trafficking and sexual abuse transcends politics. We as Americans expect equal protection under the law, and there can be no doubt that Jeffrey Epstein received far greater protection than any of the victims that he abused for years. In 2008, Courtney Wilde walked into my office because she was a part of a federal investigation into Jeffrey Epstein, where all she wanted was the government to talk to her. Little did she know, the government had worked out a secret immunity deal for Jeffrey Epstein, and we had to file Jane Doe's versus United States of America to prove that Jeffrey Epstein worked out an illegal non-prosecution agreement with the government. That was 2008. It took us 10 years battling the government pro bono for the judge to ultimately determine that the victim's rights were violated. The government has mistreated them after Jeffrey Epstein mistreated them. We then filed civil lawsuits against Ghislaine Maxwell, which has resulted in her being in prison. Our civil lawsuits led to her prosecution. We filed lawsuits against Jeffrey Epstein, against his estate, and against two financial institutions, JP Morgan and Deutsche Bank, that proved that they knowingly provided the financial infrastructure for a sex trafficking operation. Unfortunately, all of the documents and evidence that we have worked so hard to gather hide behind protective orders, confidentiality agreements, and bank secrecy laws. That is why this discharge petition is so important. While we have seen the documents, you haven't. And when you see the documents, you're going to be appalled. And the American people deserve to see everything. When you sign this discharge petition, it should mean nothing is off limits. That means the documents in the possession of the CIA should be made available. Those in the possession of the FBI going back decades should be made available. The SEC, financial records in the possession of FinCEN should be made available. Everybody knows that evil flourishes in the darkness. Corruption flourishes in secrecy. It is time right now to make a difference for the women that are behind me right now. They have been courageous and fought through this whole thing. Whether you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, this one is an easy call. You're an American who cares about equal rights and equal protection under the law. If you care about these women, if you care about our country, and you care about this issue, this should pass with flying colors. I really appreciate everybody being here.
All right, so this is the press conference about the Epstein release files. Heard from Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie, Ro Khanna, and
Henderson.
Others. We'll interrupt this just for a second to give you some context and tell you some developments on this case, but they keep talking about this discharge petition. So I want to tell you what that is. Thomas Massie posted it on X saying it's filed. Your congressman can now sign the discharge petition to force a vote on binding legislation to release the Epstein files. Here you see the motion to discharge a committee from the consideration of a resolution pursuant to clause 2 of rule 15.1. Or I, Thomas Massie, move to discharge the committee on rules from the consideration of the resolution H. Res. 581 entitled a resolution providing for the consideration of the bill H.R. 185 to advance responsible policies, which was referred to said committee on July 15th, 2025 in support of the undersigned members of the House representative affix their signatures to wit. So in other words, if he gets enough signatures on the discharge position, it will force a vote on releasing the Epstein files. And his attempt to do this, Thomas Massie, in collaboration with Ro Khanna, as this is truly a bipartisan pursuit. Now, again, the left was never into Jeffrey Epstein. It's not just that they didn't care about elite pedophilia and sex trafficking at the highest levels of our government. They actively undercut our attempts to get truth about that. They actively mocked us for caring about that. So they, for the most part, Democrats only pretend to care about this now because they think it can hurt Trump. Just flat out, that's genuinely the only reason they could possibly care. If it came out tomorrow that Trump was not in any of the Epstein files, and of course it has come out over and over, but if like you could convince the Democrats that this wasn't going to hurt Trump, they wouldn't even be pretending to care about this. They genuinely don't, which is fine. Well, whatever. If that's, hey, whatever it takes, right? I feel the same way about Israel. I mean, there's a lot of cross currents here, but I feel the same thing about Israel where it's like, hey, if you hate Israel because you're a racist and you think that they're white and the Palestinians are brown, like, okay, fine. You know, whatever. If that's the reason that we're on the same side, I think it's stupid, but at least we're pursuing the same goals. So fine. We'll cooperate for this. That's how I feel about this Epstein thing. These people don't genuinely care. They've done everything they possibly can to stop this from happening until, for some heretofore unexplained reason, the Trump administration decided to become the Epstein champions. Yeah, I mean, maybe this is a job for historians 100 years from now. Maybe we don't have the distance to get the perspective to even understand what's going on here, because I do not understand how the Epstein files went from purely a far-right, alt-right, dissident right-wing topic of conversation that was mocked, derided, ignored by the left, and sort of just, you know, played with by the right. They sort of teased it a little bit. Oh, yeah, Epstein files. Yeah, for sure. And then all of a sudden, and without explanation, it just flipped. And all of a sudden, Trump became the defend Epstein guy and basically saying that you're an anti-Semite, you're Hamas if you want to know the truth about the child sex trafficking blackmail rape scheme that was being run out of the Virgin Islands for decades on end. It's crazy. It's just crazy that we flipped like this somehow. And the reaction from the Trump White House is like very condemning to me. It's very indicative of guilt. Because in response to this discharge position, petition, rather, any Republican who signs Representative Thomas Massie's discharge petition on the Epstein files will be seen as committing a hostile act against the Trump administration, per White House official. I want it to be known that anybody demanding justice for pedophiles will be treated as an enemy of me. Why would that be? But why would you say, why would you say that? Why would you say such a thing, actually? If you attack pedophiles, we will take that as a personal attack on us individually. Sure, that's the type of thing you want to plant your flag in. I mean, what the hell? What the hell is the only thing you can possibly say about this? Anyone signing Thomas Massie's petition to release the Epstein files will be seen as committing a hostile act against the Trump administration. Ian Carroll responds, any Republican who doesn't sign it will be primaried, kicked out of D.C., and remembered only as a piece of crap that actively worked to protect pedophiles who raped American kids. And I guess this is sort of the tug and war being played right now. Who has more power in America? The American people or AIPAC? The American people or the Israeli influence networks? The American people want a lot of stuff that is contrary to the desires of AIPAC and the Israeli lobby and the Epstein friends. Who's going to win this battle? Who is actually in charge of this country? And Thomas Massie, you know, hinted at that. The thing is, with a guy like Thomas Massie, he's too popular to be taken down by the typical tactics of the AIPAC Israel First crowd. He didn't get elected by being a Trump sycophant. That's not what he needs to do. Massie says Trump may be covering for some rich and powerful people in the Epstein files, which of course he is. I mean, whether that's the motive or not, you can debate, but that is the effect. That is what is happening. He is covering up for the enemies of America and victimizers of little girls. But you got a guy like Thomas Massie, and he's already proven that he can withstand the full force of Trump's ire. Trump's already tried to primary Thomas Massie twice. It hasn't worked. AIPAC spent tens of millions of dollars trying to oust Thomas Massie. It didn't work. So good. So, I mean, that's how our system is supposed to be. Actually, the whole point of our entire system, like our entire system fundamentally at its basis, is created so that the people of America have a equally powerful representative than all of the moneyed interests, than all of the international interests, all of the lobbyists and all of these things. They're all supposed to come second to the desires of the people, because the people are the ones who are supposed to hold the reins of power. And congressmen are supposed to know, I have to serve the people. Yeah, AIPAC wants me to do this. Yeah, Trump wants me to do this. Yeah, all this whole array of bad actors want me to do things, but if I do what they want, the people will kick me out of power. So if I want to retain power, I have to go with the people. That's how it's supposed to work. It's how our entire system is set up to be. The fact that it doesn't work like that means that our system is not fit for purpose and should be scrapped and eradicated. If everybody in Congress was like Thomas Massie or Ron Paul had an even more, you know, solid grasp of his congressional district. He was so beloved by his people. He was such a valuable member of their community even before he became a politician, as being the man who delivered like the majority of the constituents in his district. The first person to touch them in the world. So, you know, you can't bribe your way into that type of loyalty. So if you have people like that in Congress, you can resist all of the lobbyists and all that. And that's what Thomas Massie can do. And so as Ian Carroll is highlighting here, this is the division. It's the question that needs to be on the minds of congressmen and senators around the country needs to be, is it really worth it? get the money and the influence and the connections from all these high level, you know, AIPAC aligned lobbying groups? Or is that going to be a detriment? And in fact, is resisting them going to get me more support and presenting myself as a champion of the American people against this cabal of international pedophiles? You know, which is going to be more valuable to me? Which is more likely to get me elected? And we need to let everybody know, and this is where the grassroots bottom-up revolution takes place. We need to let all these people know we are not voting for people who are supported by AIPAC. We are not voting for people who refuse to help us get justice for the Epstein victims. Our opposition has to be more powerful than their bribes. And we are working our way towards that. Again, Ian Carroll says, today on the Capitol lawn, Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna are hosting a press conference where Epstein survivors will be sharing their testimony. I was told by Ro Khanna that most of them have never spoken publicly before. Be loud about it today. Put pressure on the administration and every congressional representative today. The point is to force just a few more House Republicans to sign Massie's discharge petition, which needs a total of 218 signatures, to bypass bureaucracy and go to vote. The legislation would force disclosure of all files pertaining to Epstein. This is a real opportunity to move the ball downfield. These are the important people to put pressure on. Lauren Boebert, Tim Burchett, Eric Burleson, Jeff Van Drew, Eli Crane, Corey Mills, Tom Barrett, Max Miller, Keith Self. All these people signed their support for the bill previously, but have not yet signed the current discharge petition, which needs to make it to 218 signatures. Below, you will find contact info for all of these representatives, as well as a template email you can send to them, or with your own own spice added, let your voices be heard. So I just retweeted that. You can find that at Ian Carroll Show or at Harrison H. Smith on X, and get the make some calls. Oh, we're about to go to commercial break. Maybe take this for a minute or so, 90 seconds that we'll be in commercial. That's about all it takes to make a phone call. Maybe just pick up your phone now, call the number of your congressional office, and say, please sign Thomas Massie's discharge petition. For whatever reason, for the international spy ring, for justice, for whatever compels you to want the truth and justice in this case, now's the time to get active. Now's time to make your voice heard. Now's time to encourage Congress to serve the people and not the special interests. Serve justice and not their own self-aggrandizement. So again, you can find contact information for these Republicans who are most likely to sign. In the press conference, we just heard him say he needs only two more signatures to force this vote. Now, 33,000 pages of Epstein-related documents have already been released as of yesterday afternoon by the House Oversight Committee. I'll tell you more about that on the other side. Talk about some of the weaponry that China has unveiled in their military parade. And we got some other news to get to as well. So stay with us. The American Journal, third hour begins on the other side, opening for your phone calls as well.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue. And this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning. Next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Look, I know the supernatural is something that isn't supposed to happen, but it does happen.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot to talk about in this final hour. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls. As we speak, the press conference is going on with the survivors of the Epstein sex trafficking ring. Thomas Massie has this discharge petition that he needs just two more signatures on. We're encouraging everybody to call their representatives. Thomas Massie tweeted this out today. White House says helping me secure a vote to release all the Epstein files is a, quote, hostile act. They're threatening anyone who helps bring true transparency and justice for the survivors. This is a tacit admission for the Oversight Committee data release that the Oversight Committee data release is woefully incomplete. The White House official told NBC News in an email helping Thomas Massie and liberal Democrats with their attention seeking while the DOJ is fully supporting a more comprehensive file release effort from the Oversight Committee would be viewed as a very hostile act to the administration. Well, I mean, you told us that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself and that there were no files. So it's a little bit rich. Now be like, look, the DOJ is going to release the files. I mean, we got the files and we're going to release. So this is just attention seeking. There's no need for all of this. It's like, no, there obviously is. And it's obviously already working. I mean, the fact that you're admitting that there are files now is a reversal because you were made to look like a fool because you tried to tell us there were no files when there obviously are. So now you're like, no, you don't need to protest about this. We're doing it. We're definitely already doing it. We definitely have all of the files ready to go. I mean, you're just interfering with that. It's like, no, it's just stop. Just stop. It's getting outrageous. It's getting ridiculous. We all get it. And it's not about America. It ain't for America that you're withholding the truth about, you know, Israel's blackmail network in the highest rungs of our society. Let's go to clip number 37 here. This is Thomas Massie saying not only every Republican, but every Democrat should be signing this discharge petition. Let's watch.
Well, the question is, why are they doing a pressure campaign? Why are they doing
that?
Why do they? Because they don't want the files released. Look, if my legislation were redundant, why would the White House be trying to stop it? Mm-hmm. It's not redundant. There are things that the White House doesn't want out there that my legislation would cause to be released, and that... Mm-hmm. Even the White House doesn't believe that the Oversight Committee has released everything.
So, again, we'll get into what has been released from the Oversight Committee in just a second. Clip 40 here is Thomas Massie responding to Trump calling the whole Epstein thing a hoax. It's not, though. Let's watch.
The president's called it a hoax.
He's called it a hoax. I hope he doesn't say that after tomorrow when 10 of the survivors testify in public. That would be very disrespectful.
I do. How can you not love Thomas Massie? How can you not love Thomas Massie? I hope he doesn't call it a hoax after tomorrow when all the survivors testify. That'd be very disrespectful. Unforced error. It's just unforced error from Donald Trump. From the very beginning, again, I can think of 1,000 ways to handle the Epstein documents better than Trump has handled them. So why is he making these unforced errors, and why is he going so aggressively against Thomas Massie when this is what all of his constituents want? This is what he promised when he was elected, and now he's mad at Thomas Massie for trying to hold him to that. And again, look, I have no doubt that the only reason the Democrats are pretending to be interested in this is because they think he can hurt Trump, and so then Trump thinks he needs to defend himself from it. But that situation only arised because Trump's administration decided to go on the offensive and start calling people names for looking at the Epstein files, for wanting to know about the Epstein files, for demanding the fulfillment of the promise to release the Epstein files. if you didn't do that, the Democrats never would have seized on this vulnerability and attacked you with it. So what are you doing? So what is the plan here exactly? Like, you know, it may just be that our system just literally cannot handle the revelation of truth, in which case, reveal the truth and let the system collapse.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. Third hour is on this American Journal broadcast, coming to you on the 3rd of September, 2025. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for your calls this hour. 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. And I'm going to try to keep the phone comments as short as possible. I have a bad habit of just sort of letting people go on and on when they call in. I feel bad interrupting, but then it just means we only get to like three phone calls. So I'm going to be interrupting. I'm going to ask everybody to keep their comments, you know, to 30 seconds to a minute, something like that, just so I can get to as many as possible. And I will go to as many as we can while still covering some of the bombshell news out today. And I don't think we need to spend too much more time on Epstein. Obviously, we encourage you to go on my Twitter, at Harrison H. Smith, find the tweet I just retweeted from Ian Carroll, call your congressman, and encourage them to sign the discharge petition. And, hey, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't you like to see at least once in your life Congress do something that you want them to do? Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, this is an opportunity for a revelation here, folks. The Congress of the United States might actually, against their will, be forced to do something for the benefit of the American people. What a unique opportunity we have. So we don't need to spend too much time on it, but the House Oversight Committee has released a first trove of Epstein files, but Politico sums it up in this subtitle. The materials, most of which are already publicly available, were produced as a result of a congressional subpoena. Basically saying, yeah, this isn't going to actually provide new information for anybody. It's all old information. The trove of materials is unlikely to satisfy those clamoring for more and new information about the case. This batch, subpoenaed by the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, contains almost exclusively information that has already been released publicly. The Oversight Committee Democrats say that based on their initial review of 33,000 files, only 3% of the documents contained any new details. And as Fox News admits, this is just an attempt to dampen Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna's attempt to get the real files released. They say, we recognize that the Trump DOJ has every incentive to not comply, Lee told Fox News Digital. That is, I imagine, a very small start, but we await the rest. Lee notes that the massive majority of the files released Tuesday had all previously been publicly released, meaning that the DOJ has fallen short. The sudden release appears to be a bid to neutralize efforts by Representative Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna of California to force a vote on their bill to make the DOJ release information on Epstein. So even Fox News is like, yeah, this is just, these Epstein files that are released today aren't anything new, and it seems like just a publicity stunt to, leak the air out of Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna's blimp. So it's not going to work. And again, it's just, I mean, the flailing desperation to silence the truth is really indicative of how corrupt and captured our entire political system truly is at this point. Before we got to phone calls, I got a few more sort of headlines to read for you. Pete Hegseth authorizes up to 600 military lawyers to serve as temporary immigration judges. Look at that sly smile. This is a very good thing. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has approved sending up to 600 military lawyers to the Justice Department to serve as temporary immigration judges. According to a memo reviewed by Associated Press, the military will begin sending groups of 150 attorneys, both military and civilian, to the Justice Department as soon as practicable. And the military services should have the first round of people identified by next week, according to the August 27th memo. The effort comes as the Trump administration more regularly turns to the military as it cracks down on illegal immigration through ramped up arrests and deportations. So this is the same thing that the Democrats did to get migrants in. They didn't use the military, but basically going, oh, this is an emergency. We need to expedite things quick, you know, create temporary courts where we can process everybody rapidly. So, yeah, we just need to do that in reverse. I think that's absolutely great. I'm all for it. Top IDF commander opted not to boost security after visiting Nova 1 hour before October 7 Hamas massacre. This is an expose by Haaretz. About an hour before the Hamas attack on the Nova Music Festival on the morning of October 7th, the IDF commander in charge arrived at the site after receiving prior intelligence warning, but he took no preemptive action, Haaretz has learned. So just throw that on the pile. Like on top of the warning a year out, on top of the warning a few days before, on top of the signals that were ignored on the day of, like you just have time after time after time after time where Israel could have intervened to prevent the October 7th attack. Instead, they let it continue unabated for 7 hours. So he was there 1 hour before the attack, but somehow they didn't respond to the attack for 7 hours after it started. And then when they did respond, they responded with helicopter gunships and the Hannibal directive, with the IDF actually doing the majority of the killing that day. Because they needed the excuse to take over Gaza, which was always the plan from the beginning, even before the attack started. That's just another hint, another piece of evidence that that is, in fact, the truth of the situation. We also have one of the top stories today being this military showcase in China. China showcases military power with massive parade on war anniversary. Xi Jinping will preside Wednesday over the country's largest ever military parade, marking 80 years since victory in World War II, with a spectacle of deadly weaponry meant to send a message that China is rising to challenge the global leadership of the United States, along with Putin and Kim Jong-un. China unveiled a range of new weapons, drones, and other military hardware in its massive parade that many see as a clear message to the United States and its allies. The event saw Xi Jinping host more than 20 foreign heads of state. It was a display of Xi's growing power on the world stage and of China's military prowess. The show includes the Guam killer missile, the loyal wingman drone, and even robotic wolves. Beyond the hype and shiny new weapon, what did we learn? What was clear from Wednesday's display was that China has been able to quickly produce a diverse range of weapons. 10 years ago, the military technology they put on tended to be rudimentary copies of far more advanced equipment invented by the U.S. But this parade revealed a more innovative and diverse range of weapons, particularly drones and missiles, a reflection of how advanced their defense industrial complex has become. Brandon Weikert, friend of the show, at We the Brandon on X, says this: to be clear, China spends a fraction on defense of what we do, and they're churning out next-gen systems. Can't wait for the clown car posse to jump on here and spam me with, "It's all a psyop, bro," malarkey. Every American should be banging down the doors of the Pentagon demanding to know where the heck our $1 trillion per year in defense spending has gone off to, because judging from the costly disasters that are America's F-35, Constellation class, Zumwalt class, etc., programs, boondoggles all, that money isn't going to where it should be, and even if it is, it's being mismanaged by midwit bureaucrats and greedy defense contractors. When I worked on the Hill, I was banging the drum to audit the Pentagon, and that was during the excesses of Afghanistan. Remember SIGAR report in Afghanistan days. Now, looking at what China has achieved on a fraction of our budget, it's a four-alarm national security and economic disaster. Like, you would think after all of the money that we spend, all of the wars that we start, how our entire economy is basically propped up by empowering the military-industrial complex, you would think we'd at least have some good military material to work with, right? You'd think we'd at least have the most advanced weaponry, but no, it all just gets siphoned away, fill the pockets of the people starting the wars, leaving us both less defendable and in a bunch of conflicts that we shouldn't have anything to do with. But clearly Russia and China are rattling the sabers and striking fear into the heart of the Western hegemony, who themselves are planning on sacrificing their own people in a giant nuclear conflagration to be the final act in bringing about the world government, the one world government. So we're surrounded. Basically, I think what I'm saying is that our enemies are on the march and our supposed allies are destroying us from the inside. So it's a tough sort of situation to be in. Let's go out to your calls now. We'll just go down the line. Joe in Oregon, thank you for calling up. You are on the air.
Harrison.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, just a real quick thing on the Epstein thing. You're either going to stand in the light or you're going to have shadows cast on you. Yeah. That's where Trump is right now. It's obvious. You know, what Melania and what Barron, what his family can do, they need to get together and, you know, they need to come out in the light. There's one thing that I've been trying to call and get through to you. You know about the Tartarian Empire?
Yes.
Okay, and the architecture that we can't duplicate?
I know about the theory. I don't agree with it. I think it's kind of silly, but yes, I'm aware of it, yeah.
Okay, and the coinage, that type of thing. Mm. And I was skeptical, too. I was very skeptical. But I'm not so skeptical anymore. But my point is the coinage and the plaques on the building, instead of like 1675, it's J675 or I675. And I had a revelation. I had something that was revealed to me. And, you know, you could research it. I think Alex might want to research it. But the millennial reign in the Bible, when Christ comes back to rule for 1,000 years,
mm-hmm.
it's already happened.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that theory. Again, I just doesn't comport with what I know about history. I speculate wildly. I mean, the thing is, the problem is it takes all these ideas that are real and like conflates and confuses them, you know, to where you've got guys walking around the Wisconsin State House going, "There's no way humans built this," and it's like, dude, your grandfather built that. Like literally, we built. I mean, the Empire State Building was built in like less than a year. And so, what I'm saying is Tartaria, what you end up with is like, if you ask somebody to explain Tartaria, they're like, well, there was this old world and then it disappeared like sometime around the turn of the 19th century is when it all sort of shifted and we lost our history. And it's like, you're literally just explaining the consequences of World War One. There was an old world. World War One ended it. It wasn't Tartarian. It wasn't some mysterious, no, it was the old world. It was a world run by nobles out of Europe that was taken over and collapsed and destroyed, and now we're run by moneyed interests that don't have the same values the nobility did. So they don't build beautiful things. They don't maximize beauty and do things for the sheer, you know, majesty of like building a cathedral. They build little boxes that are super cheap and fall apart, but makes them money. So yes, the old world collapsed. The old systems that created these beautiful buildings and had humans living up to their potential collapsed and was destroyed during World War One, and we've been living in the desiccated husk ever since. We've been living in the dystopian nightmare that came about as a consequence of World War One. That all gets confused, and they're like, "Oh, it's Tartaria," and it's like, "No, it's the old world ended. It was World War One. This is all just historical fact. You don't need to come up with conspiracies for it." And then that gets conflated with the ancient technology and the human civilizations that are older than our history books say, with the flood and the every 12,000 years a major disaster and finding, you know, metal gears under the ocean that are like embedded in rock. Like, yeah, that stuff is also true, but it has nothing to do with Tartaria. So I get frustrated at Tartaria because just read normal history and it's all there. All of the weird, like magical stuff from Tartaria. That's just history, folks. That's just human history and it's in the history books. I don't know why, you know, people feel the need to like extrapolate that to some Tartarian Agartha nonsense. Just like, no, this is just what human history has developed as. It's all very simple. So thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. And again, there are things they aren't telling us. There are aspects of the Tartarian and even the flat earth conspiracy that certainly have validity, but the ultimate conclusions are fallacious, in my opinion. Thanks for the call, Joe. Godzilla, you're on the air, line two. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Harrison, can you hear me this morning?
Yes, great, sir. Yes, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, since you mentioned it with Artaria, I think that's like PSYOP, like the South Pole compared to the North Pole. But like, I think Tartaria is a setup covering up for the Christian Byzantine era that brought us the fork and a lot of stuff. But anyway, I want to talk about the Epstein document release. I was wondering if you saw the number of documents they released.
Yeah, I did. 33,000. That's a random number, isn't it?
Just a random number. Yeah, and like obviously everybody knows the Masons are all about the 33, but also different Christian secret sects because of Jesus died living at 33.
Yeah.
And then the 3 is also the pyramid number, so the triangle people get involved. And then also 33 is 6, and 6 is the Jewish number because they have like the Star of David, Seal of Solomon, that's like 6 triangles,
6 million,
6-sided hexagon, and 6 points. Yeah, 6 million too. Yeah, but like, I thought that was an interesting number to choose, and of course there are a lot of redacted. And I'm upset that none of these crack news reporters mentioned anything about Zorro Ranch and Water Island. You know, these obvious things. It's still like we're in lollipop land of fairy tales, this mystical fakeness. You know, as we travel down this rabbit hole. You know, and Trump is our white rabbit president. But on the same line, kind of connected with you guys, you know, I'm sorry to see the two macho men fighting. I think it was bound to happen. I've known him for a while. I've gotten into a physical altercation with Owen, but, you know, I really deserved it. I squeezed his arm tight, too tight, and he ribbed me. He did like a five-finger death punch to me and ribbed me real good.
Owen's a fighter. He's a tough dude. Don't mess with him.
You know, Alex is gonna blow off his lid because you know that's how he is. He, you know, a scorpion's a scorpion. You know, a wild man's a wild man. You know, you can't blame a lion for being a lion. And I don't think Alex saw the whole 5-hour video of Owen, you know, breaking it down. He said a lot of nice things about Alex, and he was really nice. But he's also doing the fundraising thing, which is his prerogative. He wants to make money because it's the renaissance of the media platform that you guys developed, you know, and I think he sees Fuentes and Myron Gaines, and he wants to be his own man, which is natural, you know.
Yeah.
He's in his late 30s, you know, and like you and Chase thinking about having a family, he has to wrap up his career life, you know. So that's normal stuff. It's sad to see that happen. I hope I'm both the best. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I wish him both the best too. I mean, I genuinely think like, just for the sake of humanity and the movement and the importance that InfoWars plays and, you know, the political revolution that's sweeping the world right now, I genuinely think that Owen should apologize. And Alex kept saying that yesterday. He's like, you apologize? And, of course, he's going, you know, you got to grovel on your knees and beg for – but if I was – because I've been in this situation before with my friends where, like, you don't realize how much – it's going to hurt somebody, or you say something and you don't realize how it's going to be interpreted by somebody else. And I don't think it'd be that hard for Owen to go, Alex says, you know, he wants me to apologize. And I do. I apologize. I shouldn't have brought that stuff up. That's not why I left InfoWars.
I agree.
I've been meaning to leave for a while. Alex didn't fire me. He didn't censor me. I thought I made that clear, but I just want to reemphasize, if people thought I said I was being censored, that's not what I tried to come across. You know, I was venting. I was complaining. There's been, you know, because everybody gets that. Everybody gets that, like, you know, even if you love your job, you're going to have things you complain about. And, you know, if you have to hold that in and then you finally get a chance to talk about it with somebody and it all comes gushing out, right? So that's what happened. But it's being interpreted. And I see it all over Twitter. I mean, just thousands of people going, I knew Alex was censoring you and you're going to be next to leave. And it's like, nobody's censored. We're not censored. And Owen never said he was censored, but that is what came across. That is what's being interpreted. And obviously it hurt Alex personally. And even if that's not Owen's intention, like I said, I've been in the same situation where I say something or I do something and only later realize like, oh, that really hurt a friend of mine. I had no idea. And so you apologize. You go, dude, I'm sorry. It's not what I meant. And it's not admitting guilt. It's not backing down and cowering away. Because you've been beaten, it's just clearing the air and just going, you know, I wanted to go off my own, but I never wanted to throw bombs at InfoWars. I never wanted to hurt Alex in any way. I was venting about what I was upset about, and that's giving people the wrong impression. So let me clear the air. And I think that'd be better for him. I think he would accept that. I think, you know, if it was just a sincere apology that his stream has been interpreted the way that it has and the way he phrased things left people with that impression, nobody's bad. Nobody's bad. Things got a little out of hand and crazy, and I think some sincere communication would fix things. Again, I'm saying you have to apologize, Owen, but like genuinely, I think the best for everybody would be for Owen to apologize about allowing people to conflate, you know, censorship with him leaving, or to say that Alex fired him, which that's one thing. Anybody online saying Alex fired Owen is not telling the truth. Just flat out, from Owen's own mouth, he quit. He wanted to quit. He planned on quitting. He just was like, I quit, but can I come on for a week? And Alex was like, no, if you're out, you're out. You're not going to come in for a week to promote your new show on my show, which I think makes sense from a business perspective. But anyway, I do think an apology would help smooth things over, not admitting wrong, but just apologizing for the way things went down.
I agree, Harrison.
I'd like to see things move forward. Go ahead.
I agree, Harrison. I think there should be an apology, and the infighting is inevitable, though, because it's like, you know, the MO of like the structure built between guys and Western civilization now, stoicism run wild, you know, guys don't communicate, and then, like, you know, certain groups, Mossad, and they stick together. And that's the benefit. Different gangs, too.
True.
So it's really unfortunate that they separated, you know, and it would be nice that they team back up, and, you know, you can always patch things up. No now doesn't mean no forever. Same thing with Elon and Trump, if they're going to be real men.
Exactly. It's so similar to Elon Trump. That's a great comparison. And, you know, a lot of people just don't have the
ego. It's ego and balls.
Well, with them, it's a lot. But I mean, for the audience, a lot of people don't have the, like, tenacity to, like, watch, you know, guys fight like this. It makes them hurt. Like, they get scared and run away. But it's like, this is how it's not, I don't know. It's emotional, but it's not emotional.
It's human. It's normal.
Yeah. Well, and, like, because I'm thinking about, you know, Nick Fuentes and I had this big beef about this stupid meme over Thanksgiving. And, you know, we got into it with each other. We were just, you know, saying some not nice things to each other. And it was sort of starting to get out of hand. And, like, I had all these people being like, yeah, we're going to destroy Nick Fuentes. And I just went, and so I texted Nick like, hey, dude, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for this to be a big, I'm not trying to attack you. I never wanted this to be like a personal, I'm not trying to destroy you. I have a different take on Wife Jack. This is so stupid. This is such a small thing. So I apologize. I said, look, I'm sorry for starting this. Some of the stuff I aired out, I should have just come to you personally if I had a problem with it. And this has gone out of hand, and it's ridiculous, and this was never my intention in the first place. So, sorry, can we drop it? And Nick was like, yeah, dude, and look, I'm sorry too. You know, he's like, but you got it. He's like, you know how much attack I'm under. So, like, you know that's how I respond. You know, he's like, when I see somebody say something like this, like, he's like, I got to go back after him. You know how much attack I'm under. And I'm like, dude, I get it. So, like, when he comes at me hard, I'm not like, that's stupid, Nick. I'm like, I get it. He's under attack from all these people. Here's somebody that's his friend that's attacking him. It's, of course, he's going to respond overtly. And so I apologize. He apologized. And now we're cool. And, like, it's fine. I love Nick. And it was, I don't give a crap about Wife Jack anyway. So it was never a big deal in the first place. So I'd like to see something like that happen with Alex and Owen of Owen just going, dude, this was never my intention. I am sorry. And just make it public. Because, again, I got people just all over the internet thinking that Owen Schroyer just exposed Alex Jones as being a controlled opposition figure. And that's just not true.
The last 5 years, I've had all these scientists on promoting spike protein detoxes that have saved so many people and done all this. And finally, we're like, hey, we better do our own. Let's make the best. We take the two best-selling ones, combine the two with stuff that the government tried to ban so people would die. And yeah, we're selling stuff that really works. Tell us about Ultimate Life Force. It's a horse pill. I take it a few times a year as a detox. So good for cardiovascular. Just one of the ingredients in this alone is on record a game changer they tried to ban. Right. This is so important.
N-acetylcysteine, better known as NAC, was widely available pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, during COVID, they took it off Amazon because it was too powerful. Too many people were getting well from it. They say, okay, this isn't a supplement. This is a drug. Now, we're not making that claim this is a supplement, but it is a supplement that is so powerful it could be used and compared to something like that.
And what is NAC?
N-acetylcysteine is the main precursor to your body's master antioxidant, glutathione, right? Glutathione is what your body uses to detoxify everything. But most importantly, your lungs. NAC reduces lung mucus and is incredibly powerful. This is rocket fuel. This is the gasoline. This is the fuel you need to make the glutathione. But more importantly, even than that almost, I was taking a look at Ultimate Life Force, and I forget about these things. These things are something that they wanted to ban even more, the natokinase and the serapeptase. Those are compounds that go in and break down blood clots and scar tissue and inorganic things in the body. That's for the spike protein. The cool thing is everybody, every human can get healthy. It just takes different specific steps to get healthy. And that's why they're becoming knowledgeable about...
Well, that's like breeds of cows. They're like, these cows can handle the heat. These cows can't. These cows can handle cold. They can't. These dogs can handle this. These can't. We're all dogs. We're all cows. We're all the same species, but there's certain things each group can't handle.
No, 100%. I agree with that. And it's so key. I mean, the reason why Methylene Blue has just been such an incredible hit to the audience and to the supporters, listeners, to us, everyone, is because, well, like, we really feel the effect, you know?
It's like the Garden of Eden. God made all these things to work together.
It's all there. The information's readily
available. No, it's absolutely incredible. These are great products. They fund the operation. And, folks, it's common sense. Go get them. TheAlexShowStore.com. Get the bovine colostrum, get the methyl drive, get the power plant, get the methylene blue, get it all.
What's cool about supplements, at least to me, is you're able to look at these different genetic groups, and then you can go, okay, they need help with this one thing, we got a compound for that.
All we did was go out with the top-selling products for all the studies and just combine them together.
100%. And I mean, you look at this product, the NAC alone makes it worth buying, but you've got four or five other things in there directly targeted to addressing COVID and long COVID.
People say, well, I don't have COVID right now. The point is, it's good for you, period.
100%. We've all got scar tissue in us. We've all got issues. We've all got these inorganic compounds, these microplastics. When you look at something like Ultimate Life Force, it might be able to address some of those situations. You look at this, you look at the other products we're offering you, it's kind of hard to do an individual pitch for them because they're all so amazing. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our Ultra Methylene Blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any, like, man or woman, young and old, if you're on Methylene Blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take. This is something so powerful they tried to ban it.
So the Methylene Blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is the nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're going to go out to your phone calls momentarily. There's two stories from Europe that I want to cover before we do, and they're equally absurd. I don't know if absurd is the right... I genuinely don't even know how to describe one of these stories. Okay, I literally don't even have the words. I'll just have to cover them. But before I do that, I want to tell you that we have a new sale going on at thealexjonesstore.com. The Total War Fundraiser Sale. We have enhanced the sale on thealexjonesstore.com to supercharge our efforts in the information war. Now, not only do you get 25% off store-wide on all apparel, but we're also offering buy one, get one half off on Atomic Defense, Shilajit gummies, and Shilajit capsules. Plus, we're pleased to announce the launch of the Alex Jones War Bonds. Get your war bond now for $100 in the mail and receive it in the mail with a promo code for $110 in store credit. That's a great idea. No joke, I pitched that idea to Alex like 3 years ago. I was like, InfoWars war bonds. It'd be a great idea. Now they're doing it. That's awesome. Alex Jones war bond, free $10 credit. So that's cool. So you spend $100, you get a cool, you know, souvenir war bond, then you get a free $10 credit. Or a promo code for $110 in-store credit. So you're basically, how's that even work? Are we just giving away $10? So if you order a war bond, do we just give you $10? We give you your money back and $10 on top of that? That's kind of too good of a deal. Folks, this might be a mistake. You might want to go do this and take advantage of it before we realize that we are literally just giving money away. That does appear to be what we're doing. So you buy a war bond for $100. You receive it in the mail with a promo code for $110 in store credit. That's awesome. So you spend $100, but you get $110 back. All right, so that seems like not a good business decision for us, but you can take advantage of it today by going to thealexjonesstore.com. I guess it's just like a gift certificate, right? It's like a gift certificate, but you get extra money, more than you paid for the gift certificate. That's awesome. So go take advantage of that before we realize that it's not a good business plan to just give people $10. That's great, man. That's a great deal. Honestly, you should go take advantage of that. Plus, you get 40% off all knives and silver coins, including the limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger and the Midnight Rider limited edition silver coin. Because you got to hurry up, though, because this blowout sale ends this week, and it's your last shot to save big. Visit thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison today and get 25% off all apparel store-wide. Buy one, get one deals and Alex Jones war bonds. Looks very similar to my design, too, for the war bonds. I don't have enough time to, like, go through and compile all the stories, so I just very quickly ran through my bookmarks to find some examples of what has been done to AFD over the recent past. So as of yesterday morning, we were told there were 4 dead AFD candidates just ahead of this big election. AFD, Alternative for Deutschland, Alternative for Germany, the big right-wing party that's been making gains year over year in Germany despite the attempt by the establishment to do everything they possibly can to stop the rise, including just banning the party outright. Talks about that for years have been going on. There have been, well, I'll read you the headlines. Okay, so then by the end of the day yesterday, 6 AFD candidates had died. As of today, there's a 7th AFD candidate dead ahead of the new elections. Statistically impossible for this to be a coincidence. And I said yesterday, when it was only 4 officially dead, this is murder. 100%, I'd be willing to bet my bottom dollar, these people were murdered by their political enemies. I don't think there's any reasonable doubt in my mind as to that. And the reason is because I've been watching AFD news for the last couple of years, and they have routinely come under violent and vicious attack by radical Antifa leftists, as well as legal and political attack by the government and establishment of Germany and the wider EU. So again, just, you know, revisiting the story from yesterday, I just searched my bookmarks for AFD. This is like the first 10 results I have. So number of AFD candidates in NRW has risen to 7 ahead of the local elections from Election Wizard. So 7 candidates killed. This is from yesterday. 6 candidates for Germany's AFD die before election. Voters in North Rhine-Westphalia, Germany's most populous side, will elect their local authorities next weekend. And 6 AFD party members died randomly and from unknown causes the week before this happened. Okay, incredible. So what's been happening in the past? Depraved left, this is 2023, depraved leftists attack AFD's von Storch with feces. Love and better arguments will triumph over hate. Leftist radicals sunk to new lows of depravity as a man attacked Beatrix von Storch, vice speaker of the Alternative for Deutschland party, in the joint German Bundestag with feces. Okay. AfD revival of the far right a threat to Jewish life. Germany's anti-Semitism commissioner has spoken out about the surge in support of the Alternative for Germany party. This is again in 2023. The far right party is meeting in Magdeburg to finalize its list of candidates for the 2024 EU elections. So again, these just being politically right wing in Europe is considered being a terrorist and an anti-Semite and a threat to the world order and therefore illegal. German domestic spy agency labels AfD youth organization as extreme right, mass surveillance of all members now permitted. This was in 2023 as well. So 2023 was when AfD really started getting popular, and you immediately saw the crackdown where they're considered extremists. There are people writing articles about how dangerous this is. They're being spied on. They're surveilled. They're labeled as a terrorist, domestic terrorist, extremist organization, and all of the methods of crushing a nascent movement were invoked. Conservative AfD overtakes Green Party for first time in 4 years. So again, that was back in 23 as well. So again, you see in 2023, as AfD rose in the polls, you saw the panic set in and the oppression take place. Germany, arson attack against AfD politicians' business results in massive inferno. Flames from the arson attack could be seen 10 kilometers away. This was in 2024. And again, you I didn't go through and compile this year over year. This is just what popped up in my bookmarks is the last couple years when I just searched AfD. AfD candidate stabbed in abdomen after confronting election poster vandals. This was the second politically motivated knife attack against right-wing figures in Mannheim in less than a week. Right, so you had another AfD member also stabbed earlier that week. This was 2024. In 2024, you had this. AfD members banned from owning guns in new court ruling. So, you know, you got to first smear them, then take their weapons away, and then have your Antifa goons attack them, and they're knowing they're defenseless. Pastor fired from evangelical church over his AfD candidacy, as you not done just have violence against AfD candidates, but massive, massive just discrimination in general, as we see with this, being fired from a church for daring to be right-wing. German doctor refuses to treat AfD politician. Right, they'd rather let you die, violate their Hippocratic Oath, than give health care to somebody who doesn't want Germany to be destroyed. Berlin Bank cancels AfD donations account after Granny's petition. 2024, the AfD was debanked by Berliner Volksbank after a Grammys Against the Right campaign petitioned the bank with 35,000 signatures. German intelligence agency places populist right-wing party AfD under state surveillance. It's in 2021. And this is Keith Woods, co-leader of the conservative AfD party, announced this week he'd been debanked by the Deutsche Bank for his association with the party. So if you're in, so in Germany, this new party arises. It's right wing. It starts gaining in the polls. It starts overtaking other popular parties like the Greens. And then immediately they're debanked. They're attacked. Their attackers are, you know, given cover. They're called extremist in international publications. They have surveillance placed on them. They talk about just banning the party outright. I mean, literally, they're just like, the AfD is becoming too popular. We need to ban it, you know, to save democracy. To save democracy, we're going to ban the most popular party. Wrap your mind around that one. It's sort of the same level of logic and sort of a circular logic that you're going to find with our next story. This is the one that leaves me speechless. Okay, this is published today in the Financial Times. Keir Starmer considers digital ID rollout in bid to tackle illegal migration. That's right, folks. Problem, reaction, solution has never been more apparent and obvious and in your face. They let in the illegal migrants that they could stop at any time. They could prevent them from coming over. They could arrest them once they're here. They could send them back. They could have agreements with other countries to not allow them to come over. A million, billion different ways they could not let this problem take place. They allow the problem to cause trouble for everybody. And then they say, gee, look at all these illegal immigrants. I guess we need digital ID. Gee, now that there's all these illegal immigrants, you know what'll fix it? Digital ID. Now, this is how they sold real ID in the 90s in America. All these illegal immigrants we let in. You know, if we had real ID, they wouldn't be able to get jobs. Real ID gets implemented. The population of illegal immigrants explodes by 3 times. Okay. So, again, I'm just like speechless. It's like, how could it not be obvious to everybody? How is anybody taking any of this seriously? They're introducing digital ID to combat illegal migration. The illegal migration that they've done everything they possibly can over the last decade to facilitate, to allow, to pay for. Just destroying the constitutions and the, you know, physical sovereignty of every European state to jam them full of illegal immigrants. And then they point to those same illegal immigrants that they just left in and say, that's why we need digital ID. Give us your iris scan if you want to go on the internet. And you know what they'll do? They'll do the digital ID, and then no illegal immigrants will be deported. None of them will even be slowed down. And they'll just get what they want. And then all the problems will continue regardless. So I mean, that again, is just like, it's one of these headlines that just comes about every once in a while that just makes you want to kill yourself, doesn't it? That is me. I don't know. Just one of these headlines every once in a while, one of these headlines comes across the desk. I'm just like, you know, I'm going to go jump off a bridge, actually, now that I think about it. Now that I had to read that article, I think I don't want to be on this planet anymore. We're going to start digital ID to stop the illegal immigrants. Uh-huh. I'm not serious about wanting to kill myself. It's just more legal to say than who I really want to kill. Let's go on to your calls now. We got Big Tex in the Big Easy. Big Tech in New Orleans. Big Tech in New Orleans, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Harrison.
Good morning, sir.
Your show is the best show on the InfoWars Network by far.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I just wanted to say one thing that boggles me about the Jeffrey Epstein thing is this. If that filthy son of a gun touched my daughter, he would have a severe case of high-velocity lead poisoning. How did no one take this guy out over all these years?
Let me tell you, I have a perfect answer to your question, Big Tex. Your daughter would never be taken by Jeffrey Epstein. Because you said that and because you think that, your daughter would never be taken by Jeffrey Epstein. One of the sort of the it's not even really like a dirty secret, but like Jeffrey Epstein preyed on young people that were poor and from poor families, telling their families that they would be able to get ahead by letting the daughter come with him. And the dirty little secret, and we talked about this last time, well, the time before Rex was on last week, somebody asked a similar question about child sacrifices. And it's like, whether it's pedophilia in Hollywood, pedophilia in D.C., or the Incas 4,000 years ago, the parents provide the children. So if you're the type of parent that would shoot somebody for touching your daughter, you're the type of person that the Epsteins of the world instinctively know to avoid and will not even try to take your daughter because they'll see you sitting behind your daughter with that look in your eye and they'll go, you know, there's probably somebody more amenable to our aggression that we can go pursue. That's my take. What do you think about that, Big Tex?
Well, I guess you're right. I mean, they just look for the weakest member of the herd and go for them. But still, I mean, all these people, not one person decided that they were going to take care of business.
No, you're right. Or just that they would, you know, flip open a Instagram Live and just go, let me tell you about all the men who raped me. It's or just, I don't know, man. Honestly, that really is that's the black pill, is when you're like, wow, thousands of people knew about this and not one had the moral courage to just go, F this, I'm blowing the whistle right now and you can't stop me. It's totally possible, but it also just shows how effective their psychological manipulation is. That they, you know, it's not always about just blackmail. If you say that, I'll release the photos. I mean, it's never as clear cut as that. It's often more presenting it to the people who are being abused as their abuse is a sacrifice that they're making for their friends and family, right? They go, yeah, you had to go through all this and this is bad and you want to tell people, but if you tell people, you know, things are going to get bad for your friends and your family and, you know, I'm rewarding you, you know, maybe I've given you a job where you're making a lot of money. That's going to go away and you're going to be on the street. And so, you know, you staying quiet and keeping that pain to yourself, you're like a hero. That's strength. You're preserving your strength and you are making your own, you're sacrificing yourself for the sake of the people that you love that are, you know, would be destroyed by this. There's a lot of psychological manipulation that goes into this. It's not as clear cut as we have you on film with a child, do what we say. Because the children also need to be manipulated. The victims themselves need to be manipulated. Thank you for the call, Big Tex. Let's go to some more. Ahmed in New York is on line five. Ahmed, you're on the air.
Oh, line five is extraordinary, and it's live. It's alive in the morning. you know, it's funny. It's like I said 7-Eleven, but I guess they know it's Ahmed speaking. But I just wanted to say, Mom, Dami, bro, when can we get, like, a live pool? Can we get a bet in? Like, can we start placing bets on the Kelsey app presented by InfoWars? And because this guy, I made a video about him exposing him, and now I got people in the Islamic Council, like, hitting me up for the video, and they're like, oh, wow, this is incredible find. I got, like, people that are like, free Palestine over here in New York City. They're like, oh, shit, Ahmed, you exposed the shit out of this guy.
All right. Hey, man, you can't be... Can't be cursing like
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Avoid the four-letter words, but...
Yes, sir. But I exposed him, and he and a lot of his followers, like, I just flipped the switch, and now they're, like, hitting the wall. So it's like, can we start doing bets, man? Like, I also want to do, like, a charity with, like, Clown Car, man. Yo, can we get something popping with Clown Car, bro? I love Clown Car. Shout out to Clown Car Conspiracy, bro. We holding it down in New York, Harris.
Yep.
We holding it down.
You know,
H-O-L-D. H-O-L-D. That's the four-letter word.
Tell you what, I wish we'd known it before because we could have set up a conference, but Clown Car is actually on the line, so we'll go to Clown Car next. Thank you so much for the call, Ahmed, and stay tuned because Clown Car will give you an answer to your question now. So we go from Ahmed on line five to Clown Car on line seven. Clown Car in New York. You just heard Hong Kong, sir.
Clown Car, 40 for duty, sir. Yeah, big up to Ahmed. Congratulations. He just had a baby. So everybody prayers up for my man, Ahmed. So, I would like to kind of talk about this alien mothership, this possible Sumerian return, and why we have trackers on it, and why it's still considered a half-planet, moon, meteor, and why our Department of Defense is talking about it so much and not any of it reaches the media.
Yeah, I haven't really been following this story. I've been seeing the headlines, right? There's this mysterious object, and it's like every day I see a new headline that's like, it doesn't have the tail that normal asteroids have. It changed direction. It's speeding up and slowing down. Like every day there's some new thing being like, guys, this isn't a comet. We might think it's a spaceship.
Do you think that's what Trump is talking about? That thing that's going to happen soon that nobody could stop?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's a psyop. And even if it's not, it's like we've been so psyoped in the past. Like nobody's even going to believe it. I mean, you could literally have every news station reporting on an alien spacecraft landing on the White House lawn and 90% of people would just change the channel. It just wouldn't care. It'd be like, okay, yeah, sure, yeah, right. Like nobody cares. Scientists say mysterious object approaching Earth may be alien artifact. A 40% chance it's an alien artifact. Okay.
Okay. Well, Harrison, like I brought up about the metal sphere that I saw, and everybody told me, you know, what are you drinking? What are you smoking? We want some of that. But I saw a metal sphere in the sky in the broad daylight with 50 other people. Now, this metal sphere has been seen not only 2 weeks later on TMZ, but has been seen now all over the world. It's the same metal sphere that I saw. It's huge. It's the size of a school bus or a city bus. The thing is huge, and I've seen it personally in broad daylight, not too far away from me. So what the heck is flying around this metal sphere zipping across the sky at incredible speed? Now, I think they might be just monitors. I don't think there's actually anything in them. But what do I know? I mean, we're talking about aliens. Now, are these aliens going to have to get real ID when they show up?
Yeah. What digital ID do we have to adopt to stop the aliens from attacking? I don't know what it is. All I know is it's your right and duty as an American to shoot it with the shotgun if you see it again. If you see a mysterious floating metal ball that you can't identify, it's the size of a school bus and menacing you, I think it's your right and duty as American to do a little skeet shooting with it. I'm sorry, I gotta go to more calls. We only have three minutes left in the segment. I love you, Clown Car, but we gotta move on. Valerie in Kentucky, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, can you hear me?
Hear you fine. Thanks for calling.
I pray for you guys all the time. I buy the products, praying for Alex Jones' dad. And I've got the perfect ticket for 2028. Thomas Massie from Kentucky, president. Marjorie Taylor Greene, vice president. And clean out the deep state, which Trump, you know, is can't seem to get to in the next few years. And I voted for Trump 3 times, but he needs to lay off Thomas Massie.
You know, the crew is telling me that Trump is live right now with the Polish president. But I wanted to go to calls, and they're keeping me updated. Apparently, he's called Epstein a hoax again. He's talking trash about Thomas Massie again. It's such a bizarre departure from Trump's normally very solid instincts. I completely agree with you. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie have proven themselves. And look, even if you disagree with some of the stances that they have, that's fine. You cannot tell me that they're not the real deal, authentic and genuine in what they believe and what they're pursuing. And it's just evidence in the fact that they routinely go against their own interests to support their moral prerogative, right? It would be a lot easier for Thomas Massie to play the game. It'd be a lot easier for Marjorie Taylor Greene to shut up about Israel and take the AIPAC money. It would be very beneficial for her. She's going against her own interests deliberately out of a sense of conscious resistance to corruption. So Thomas Massie, Marjorie Taylor Greene have proven themselves to be the real deal. I completely agree with you. That'd be a very, very powerful combination. And hell, get some Democrats on there too. I just, as much as the Democrats are just insane psychos and we go over it relentlessly here, I do want to just see Americans come together and just have a government that prioritizes us. Is that really so hard to ask for? And if that means that we got to team up with Democrats to oust the interlopers, the foreign interests, the lobbying efforts, then that's just what we'll have to do. We got to take care of that stuff first, clear out the House first, and then we can set it in order. But Marjorie Taylor Greene and Massie are a real fantastic 1-2 punch. Final call. Thank you so much, Valerie, for the call. Let's go to Mark in Texas. Thanks for calling in. Mark, you're on the air with about a minute left.
Hey, read the revelation of Jesus Christ to his beloved servant, John, and keep the words and do them. Die in Christ after you receive the Holy Spirit, born again in spirit of faith. That's about it.
Any particular verse of Revelation you think is pertinent to what we're going through now?
Yeah, every word of God is perfect, holy, everlasting, powerful, and redeeming. So start at the beginning of Revelation, read it to the end, then start again at Alpha and read to the Omega.
Right. Well, and
receive
look,
Revelation.
That is the end goal. I've said it a million times. At the bottom of the rabbit hole is the Holy Bible. And the beginning and the end come together in this perfect synthesis to explain everything that we're going through right now in a way that's impossible to just have happened from human endeavor. It was divinely inspired, and you've got the promise of infinite life with the Garden of Eden and the revelation of the mark of the beast and the technological domination of humanity. That's what's happening. That's all that's happening at the end of the day, at the end of at the bottom of the rabbit hole, at the end of all of the research. What I've come to understand is that these people are actual Satanists in the sense that they believe the serpent in the Garden of Eden, that they will live forever as long as they disobey God. Beginning and end, coming together.
I've been hearing about this for years, and now it's all the rage. And about a year ago, they did a survey of the customers at thealexandthestore.com and said, what is it you want the most? What product would you like to have? A lot of you got that email. And the number one thing was bovine colostrum. This is the highest rated, private labeled, 2,000 milligram per serving. And if you don't know what colostrum is, let me tell you. A cow's a mammal, we're a mammal. A dog's a mammal, a blue whale's a mammal. I know most of you know that. And mammals drink milk from their mother's breasts. The first milk of the first few weeks is called colostrum, and it's more clear, and it's full of all of the immunity and all the super nutrients, and it's basically God's vaccine. We've got the best bovine colostrum that we're introducing right now that you're going to find anywhere. Cellular recovery and defense matrix. It's also incredible for gut health and flora. Immune support, natural compounds strengthen your body's defenses against toxins and stress. Muscle recovery aid promotes faster tissue repair and reduces soreness post-workout or strain. Stress and energy balance delivers calm, focused energy with natural adaptogens, no caffeine crashes. Toxin Defense supports detox pathways to flush out environmental pollutants and free radicals, enhance nutrient absorption, improves nutrient uptake for better overall health without fillers. It's a hassle. I mean, because you only get this for a few weeks after the cow has a baby. It's the next best thing to mommy's milk. So it's all the rage for years. Everybody's going totally insane about it. I'm going to be taking it. This is next level. And I'll be completely honest with you. Everybody's been telling me to take colostrum for years. It's hard for me to start taking a supplement. Once I do and it works, I stay on it. I'm going to be taking this. All I hear about is how great it is.